because we held more silt in that pond than we released into the lake, which is the purpose of opting. Okay, let's see. Lake Loma Mana. Had the most trouble with, that has to do with the lake level monitor, which is around the corner right from my house on the south side of the lake, and we have it now operationally, and we need to go through the last two steps, which is notifying the administrative group. Is John Nelson representing Q Inc., Aaron, Fred, the on-duty and myself as the administrator. Excuse me, and that we would be available to the website to be able to check what that meter is saying. Once it is in place and we have that connection done, then immediately following that, we will revise the phone list of who's notified when we have a massive rainstorm. So in this past massive rainstorm that we had, the mayor, the city administrator, John Nelson, myself, Fred, the on-duty policeman, and the new general manager, when that person is selected at various levels. At the same time, those people in the lake, that Fred in his house and a couple of other locations, the general manager at the clubhouse, achieves a fast increase because of rainfall. The purpose is to allow John and or the folks with Q Inc. to open up the floodgates before the emergency spillway operates to assist in reducing the level of the lake. That was part of the agreement that we have, is that this is operational. We have not gotten to that level yet, but we're getting very close. It's in Sierra's court to get... get back with us to establish it, and then secondly, to revise our list to get the mayor, city administrator, and others appropriately to be notified when the lake is at level. Any city council members, we can do that for you or anyone else. And both of these two websites could be monitored by any of the citizens in the community to use that to at least, you know, stay informed about the weather conditions that exist. But we want to get it established with those parties right now, both the OPTI project and the lake level monitor. Those are the two projects. If you think about the rainfall, we just had the spillway operated successfully, and we did not get to a point where the emergency spillway operated. So 5 inches doesn't get us to that point, but another couple of drips and we probably would have been. That's my report.
That's it. Okay, well, I actually timed you because you asked for 3 minutes, and that was 4.5. Not too bad.
And I got liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, no, really, 4.5 minutes. Nice job.
Brady, this is Aaron Lenke speaking, and he had told me he needed 10, so just be happy with 4.5.
Oh, I am happy with that. Bill, as always, thank you for everything. With the rain we had, spillway was rushing hard, but did its job. Duck Cove, same thing. I love that we have all this going on. The OPTI project is just so fascinating to me. And once again, thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate it. When we calm down, we need to think about what we're doing with the spillway and possible some of those more aesthetic, connected to the mission of making this a wonderful place, we need to think about for the dam and the spillway improvements. They are going to have to be done someday.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. Any other questions for Bill? Okay. On to the police chief's report.
Everybody received the monthly report. If anybody had any questions, keep on with time for the report by time discussion.
Greg, pretty good question for you.
Yeah, Greg, what's up?
Greg, what's up? New truck looks nice. How's it working for you?
The new patrol car is working excellent. We're driving around with the old cars in the shop. Tune-up was done. Apparently wasn't enough.
It still has fire or something.
So we're currently utilizing the new car. Until we get the old one fixed, and we're still pending decals. which are order, cage, the prisoner partition.
Supposed to be the tape.
And after all those items, I should be 100% done.
Thanks for your help.
Sure.
Not to steal your thunder, Fred, but the decals for that car have been ordered.
Yes, they have.
And some residents have kind of questioned, you know, why there's no decals. Well, the white car is in the shop, and we don't have decals for it yet. So if you guys get questioned by anybody, that's why. Okay. All right, then.
Can I let Fred know something?
Go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, Fred, I just want to let you know we did install additional speed limit signs around the wedding today.
I saw
five new speed limit signs, one children at play warning sign, and we replaced the stop sign at the top of Pawnee at Hillcrest.
I didn't notice those already in the green.
Okay, I hope I got it in the right place.
I think it was so far.
All right, thanks for doing that. Okay, if there's no other questions for Fred, we are going to move on. City Attorney's Report. Michelle, do you have anything at all?
I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going to go to City Council Reports first. And we're going to start with Gail Best.
Okay. Well, it was mentioned a little bit earlier about the bathroom status. And fortunately, the stores have opened, and I was able to get mirrors and pick up all frames that have been at Hobby Lobby for about 2 months. And then I went through photo clubs, lots and lots of photos, and selected four to start with that are framed now that represent things we do in the city, and those are will be hung here shortly, probably in another day or two. We're almost done with that, so that put that project to rest. One thing I wanted to get on ready for discussion maybe in later months. Last year we talked about making improvements to City Hall, and one of the things we wanted to do was improve the parking lot situation.
Mm-hmm.
And because we feel it's pretty dangerous where the entrance and exit to the City Hall parking lot is, and as we all are thinking about next year and what we want to do, we probably are going to need to start having discussions about whether that would make sense to start planning for that project next year, because I don't think we have money for it this year. And then from there, we could then get rid of the kind of old-style signage that's in front of City Hall and make us look like we're looking like the rest of the community. So I don't know, Brady, how you or others feel about that.
Yeah.
I remember talking about that last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's been discussed for a number of years now. Yeah, we definitely need some updating. I would prefer the parking lot be arranged in a different way. That it has helped since they chopped down that, you know, those bushes and trees right there. That has helped a little bit. But, yeah, I think that's something that we should consider and talk about it when we discuss the budget for next year.
Okay.
You know, we do know that the building needs new gutters pretty badly. You know, some of the doors are, so yeah, I'm with you there.
Okay. Another thing I would like to start looking into is, I think it's time, you know, we did the three city markers and we've got the one on the, the northeast side of Holiday Drive. And, you know, it hasn't had any clearing out around it much, and it's just sitting there. And so I'm going to reach out to Lori and the ground maintenance people to really start focusing on clearing both the north and the south side of that part of Holiday Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they cut down, you know, a lot of trees. That was done by Wyandotte County, don't really. And so they've been cut down, but it's pretty hectic looking. And so it just feels like as we've improved all of our other entry points, that would make sense to work on that. And just, you know, I don't know how much money would be in the MO budget, or if maybe we could even reach into the other area where there's some reserve for, you know, landscaping type improvements.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think we have a separate agenda item that I guess we can either talk about that here or after all the reports. But we were looking into having the bulk item or large item pickup ideally in June. And I was going through my notes and stuff, and John Blessing thought that perhaps they might be in a position to allow that, not curbside, but to put some large in the, maybe the beach parking lot or whatever, so that people could toss a lot of the things that they've been cleaning up out of their house during the pandemic. Do you want to save the recycling options until we get into the other topics?
Yeah, I think we've got it listed under old business. So yeah, we can save it. We can save it for old business. Did you get that, Gail? Is that okay? All right. I think Gail might have froze up. Gail, if you can hear us, it looks like you froze up. We can't hear you anymore. Okay, I'm going to assume she's done and move on to John Christie. When Gail gets back on, once John's done with his, I'll go back to Gail to see if she has anything else. So, John, again, state your name, unmute, and let's hear it.
All right, this is John Christie. Got a few things. One, I did want to acknowledge one of the guests on the call. It's Elliot Colson, who's working on his Eagle Scout project, and one of his roommates is attending a meeting like this. So, anyway.
Oh, great.
Fabulous.
Welcome, Elliot.
Have Elliot on the call.
Colson,
So, this is the last meeting, city council meeting prior to the 4th of July. There's still a handful of moving pieces to 4th of July. Haven't been able to completely shore up everything the city's going to do. Is we're going to get attention with Mother's Club. One of the things that has happened since the last meeting is I asked Kathy to come up with some giveaway items as we've done in the past, and she's come up with three really good options. All three of them are non-perishable, so that's good in the sense that if the 4th of July festivities would be, you know, sacrificed in any way for whatever reason, they could be reused at a later day. Typically, the city spends somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500 a year on items like this. Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we have $2,000 in the budget, and we typically use $500 to $800 for the mayor's Christmas tree, and then the remainder on the 4th of July. So with that said, we could get 300 hand sanitizers with a carabiner clip that, you know, could clip to a golf cart or a golf bag or whatever. 250 beach balls, 200 frisbees monikered with the city for somewhere between $1,200 and $1,300. So I don't know that we need a motion on that, but that was kind of the direction we were leaning towards.
We can get all three of those items?
Yeah, that price point was for 300 hand sanitizers, 250 beach balls, and 200 frisbees. So it's a total of 750 items and around $1,250.
And they will have our logo somewhere on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It would be a one-tone color logo, just like a dark blue LQ, just something like that.
John, this is Erin, and I was just going to break in real quick and say that, yes, you are correct on all of your budget numbers.
I'm sorry, I wasn't able to hear Kathy there. Was that?
She was just explaining the Frisbee, the kind of the one color, kind of darker blue. That was it.
Okay. And typically we've given those to Fred and his crew to pass out as kind of a police community effort. So anyway, I would recommend we get those items. And I don't think that takes a motion.
Michelle, do we need a motion for that, Michelle?
That's already budgeted. There's no need for
okay.
it.
Okay.
So, very good. Then, an ongoing topic of conversation has been a non-discriminatory ordinance. Still very interested in pursuing that. Also recognize that we should wait until we can have a more traditional meeting where people would have the opportunity to join in person and share their thoughts. It's been published in the Quiberon, so it's out there, and I've gotten some feedback, all of it overwhelmingly positive, but I believe we table that issue, or that issue is not the right term. I believe we table that conversation until the July or August meeting that hopefully will be back in person. And then I guess this falls under my reports and to some degree old business, but there was a lot of conversation at the May meeting regarding the narrative, the Quiberon, a letter I received, and since that point in time, Brady, Erin, and I had one of the more productive meetings of its type with Leanna Walters, the editor of the Quiberon and the letter writer. And I think it was a very productive conversation. As a result of it, I have submitted a letter to the Quiberon to be published. I believe that should be coming out in the next few days. It really highlighted the risk the city was taking with the narrative and how publishing anything besides kind of 3 minutes carries an inherent risk that can create challenges that couldn't be foreseen or planned for. So anyway, Brady, do you want to jump in? I don't want to step on your toes, but I guess the end result is I've written this letter, and the narrative is not being published in the Quiberon this month.
Yeah, first of all, I commend you for still following through with the non-discrimination ordinance. And I do agree that we should wait till a public meeting to get comments in person. Second, I thought the meeting was fairly productive, maybe not as productive as John thought, but it was good. I also addressed the issue in my mayor's report. I have not, I've decided not to publish the narrative from this point forward. I did write a short paragraph where the narrative usually goes, kind of explaining, you know, why. I've got an email from a resident that I'll address in my mayor's report tonight. So this conversation might pop up again. But, you know, I think we can all agree that it was an unfortunate typo or mistake or whatever you want to call it. And there were better ways to go about finding the information from the letter of that or the editor, the writer of that letter. So we'll, I'm sure, talk about it furthermore in the meeting. But, yeah, thanks for doing that, John. For the record, I've read the letter and it's very well written.
Yeah, I can send that to Kathy for disparagement, but I think Quiverin comes out tomorrow or Wednesday. But that concludes my report, and it looks like Gail's back. So,
real quick, John, Shawnee Fire Department, have you contacted them about 4th of July?
I've been in touch, but it's all
okay.
Up in the air. I'm kind of waiting on hearing more specifics from what Motors Club is thinking for parade beach games.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Brady, this is John Nelson again.
Yes.
Just for your, I don't know if you're aware, the Shawnee Fire Department did drop off their boat yesterday.
I saw that.
Here at the lake while they're driving to Florida to pick up their new one.
Okay.
They were pretty over the.
No problem. We're appreciative of them, so happy to help out whenever we can. Okay, Gail, can you hear us again? Yeah, can everybody hear me? Yes?
I can hear you.
Thumbs up if everybody can still hear me. All right, Gail, can you? All right, we're going to let Gail figure that out and move on to Annie Nolan. Annie, areas of responsibility?
Well, I don't have too much to report other than we had a couple good meetings regarding with Q-Link and then just Fred and Aaron and Brady and myself regarding additional assistance requests by Q-Link from the police department since they are no longer funding a security position and won't be through this summer. So we had a great conversation in both meetings. I think all of us understand a little bit more the Fred's domain and what he's in charge of and what he can control and manage with his team. And we weren't able to meet directly with John's request just due to some, the budget challenges, and his request would require additional police coverage. But we did agree to Fred providing just, he's more aware now at with his current team as to what the situation is with the security. And then also, as things move along during the summer, if there is some specific things that we think we can engage with from a police presence, then we will readdress the topic at that time and assist Q-Link. So it was a good exchange. I guess my other thing was one of the other items on my list is to start gathering data on the use of the fire station, and we just sold the vehicle last month, so. I'm probably going to start doing some either survey or just reaching out in a couple different public ways through the Quiverin or the Q News or the online Q News, just soliciting feedback and start gathering that up for that. And then Kathy and I started conversations on next year is our 50th anniversary of the city, And so we want to do something special for the community. And so we're starting to put a team together to address that and ensure that we engage, you know, former mayors and city council members and really create something special for the city. So I'm working on that now, too. And that's all I have.
Great. I do have a volunteer that would love to be part of that discussion, a resident, so Mike Olson.
He was already on the list.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I figured. Michelle, we talked about this a couple months ago about forming a committee. So Annie could form a committee, obviously with only two council members on it. And this is for the benefit of the city, which is a reason to form a committee, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So, we talked about it a little bit last time. Michelle Day's city attorney. We talked about it a little bit whenever that was, that, you know, certainly that committee can be getting input. It can be quite valuable for the council as you're deciding, you know, how to move forward on different things, but ultimately it's not binding on the city. So, you know, that's just the main thing to keep in mind. And like you say, of course, being cognizant of open meetings requirements, so certainly no more than two council members can be meeting with that committee. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, they can be involved in that, and then those reports can come back to the council, and the council would take that information just the same as any other information. It wouldn't have any additional weight.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Annie, I would suggest another council member help you out with this if you'd like, and I'll let you think about that and you know, if you want to do it, great.
I mean, I feel like there's kind of two, I've got two committees here because I feel like I'll put one together for the fire station thing is going to be big. When we actually start moving this forward. So I probably would want someone for that and then also for Kathy and I along with the celebration. So
yeah.
If anybody wants to watch it.
Brady.
Yes.
Guys, I was stuck and so I'm now into the meeting. And so are you looking for volunteers to join Annie and which was that the meeting with the group with Q Link or what meeting was that?
Annie is and Kathy are going to start planning the 50th anniversary of the city being incorporated for next summer. And then she also is going to kind of start evaluating the semi-vacant fire station and start trying to find ideas. That was her second idea.
Okay.
And well, go ahead. She's asking for volunteers.
I would volunteer you're saying the 50th anniversary?
Correct.
Yeah. Next year?
Yep.
Thank you, Dan.
Just don't do it on June 19th, which is our new homes tour date.
Yeah, you know, I have a feeling it's probably not going to be on the exact date. And, you know, we got a lot going on in the summer. So it might be a month before. It might be a month after. We'll just wait and see. But we've got some ideas. Fred came up with a pretty cool one. And I'm sure Annie and you guys will come up with a great party. And we'll talk about that, you know, a little bit in the budget later tonight, too.
Thank you,
Annie. Gail, you kind of got cut off there. John presented his area of responsibility, and so did Annie. I can't quite remember if you had something left or.
Well, I was asking if we didn't want to talk about the recycling, go over recycling again as far as what John Blessing had submitted to us in March, and then it reached out to us again. And you know, looking at our options on whether or not we wanted to go to, in order to bypass the potential rising costs due to the contamination issue with China and all of that, he had suggested back in March that we possibly look at, like other municipalities have, every other week recycling pickup curbside, and they would provide the larger bin. And, you know, he actually wanted to come to this meeting tonight again to talk about it. And I said we hadn't really had a chance to chat about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that he was kind of letting it go during this pandemic. And I've reached out to him a couple times on different things, and he hasn't mentioned it to me.
He reached out to me a week ago.
Okay.
And, I mean, say, wanted to come to this meeting, and I said, well, we're not, you know, we really haven't had our discussion as a group about that, because we really wanted to think about how our recycling was going with, you know, I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with getting rid of the large bin.
Right.
It's having to do with cutting the costs.
Right.
Of recycling.
It would be my recommendation, that we, again, hold off until he's able to come in person. He presented a lot of information that night and price increases and that type of stuff. You know, I think it's appropriate to, you know, invite him back for the July meeting if it's live. That way he can come in person and present it there. What was the feeling you got from him? Are they wanting an answer quick? I mean, we have a contract, so.
For whatever reason, it sounded like he wanted an answer quick. And so I didn't know if we discussed it and then he could present again and then we would have discussed it, but we haven't really discussed it yet.
Okay, then why don't you briefly discuss it and we'll talk about it and then we can invite him to the July meeting.
Okay. And I think everybody probably remembers this, and I wish I had the dollar amount of that. They're trying to have every municipality pay, you know, let's just say a dollar, or let's just call it $1.40 per household per month because of the rising costs of recycling, and China is not really taking anything, and it's all due to our, 20% contamination rate that the United States has, or 25%. And so we adamantly did not want to pay that increase, and because it's not in our contract, and we are going to renegotiate our contract next year. But in that discussion, he did say, well, a lot of municipalities are going to every other week recycling curbside, and that basically, that allows Waste Management, I think, to remain whole on this thing. And it might be better for people if they were collecting, you know, their recycling items in a larger bin, and, you know, it's only going out every other week. And so I think we were all very interesting. We perked up when he started talking about that. I think you guys probably all remember.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wants to talk about, to see if we want to go to that. You know, we have, you know, involved in that was also the discussion about, you know, the large trash bin in the dump area for recycling, and but we're trying to take care of that, keeping it clean and all through the signage and
yeah.
Stuff. So that's what the topic is.
Yep.
And so I don't know if we want to have any sort of a discussion. Or did you want me to just say what the topic is and what he would talk about? Because, you know, at the end, he would need to leave, and then we would need to discuss it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, without knowing prices and all that stuff, and I love to, you know, if council members have an opinion about this either way, I'd start with Annie. Annie, do you have an opinion on this either way?
And Aaron might remember what the price is overall. Do you remember it, Aaron?
So I don't remember what the, this is Aaron Lutke, the administrator. I don't remember what the price was overall. My question to start with would be more for Michelle. I understand that this could be considered like an extenuating circumstance, but considering the fact that Waste Management works with so many municipalities who set their budgets around this time of year, I'm assuming that's why he's talking to us now. But Michelle, is there any way that they can even raise it in the middle of a contract? Or is there a way that they can raise it in the middle of a budget year when they know where cash base is coming?
Right. You know, good questions. I need to take a look at that contract. My guess is there might be a little bit of wiggle room for some things in there, but I doubt that there's a lot. Typically, pretty solid on the rates. Again, I definitely want to take a look at that. Do you know when the date runs out on that contract? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't.
For whatever reason, I should have pulled the contract, but was it October 2021?
Okay, so we're still going to have
a couple things, and that's right. That is, but I can't say that for a fact. I did not look the data. But we were, you know, we were adamant about not paying that.
Yeah.
All last year we said we didn't want to pay it, and we still didn't want to pay it. But,
if I pay it,
you give us this other option.
So if I pay it, do you mean an increase? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like I said, I just can't imagine that they can issue an increase in the middle of the contract or in the middle of a payment.
Right.
Looking back to me is the part that just does not make sense whatsoever.
Right.
And if we have enough of advance notice, if that's more of what he is thinking we're doing, Kathy and I were having a discussion the other day that we haven't put trash recycling services up to bid in a while. Maybe that's something that we want to look into instead.
Right. Well, and unless there's some provision in there that allows for a certain percentage per year or however often, unless that's in there, you're right, the rates are what they are, whatever was negotiated and agreed to in the contract. Yeah. Perhaps he's asking that the contract be renegotiated, I mean, or an amendment to the contract. But as you're indicating, I mean, that opens up everything. It doesn't just open up one particular issue. It can certainly open up other issues if that's what the city wants.
Well, that's what was going to happen was, you know, the contract was happening. And we were not in favor of that.
Right.
He could come back to us. And so then that's when this other option that he said the other, many other municipalities have gone to, which then does not result in them having eventually an increased rate.
That's what I still don't understand, because the contract specifically states that our recycling is once a week. So again, they'd have to amend it, and I can't imagine that we would agree to something like that. I feel like that would put our residents into an uproar, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree with you there. I've got the contract here. I'm trying to find. It definitely says 2021, but I'm not finding a month yet. But hang on. And council members, feel free to jump in and give us your opinion, please.
I think it'd be interesting to try it's like a Republic Waste Management. I've seen their cans of different subdivisions before, just to see how they compare. I mean, I was so close to us, I have to think there's some sort of economy of scale. But it would be interesting to see if, just see what they, how they compare to someone else.
Yeah, it never hurts to get a second bid. So I'd agree with that.
I know for a fact that they have made a lot of other cities, at least in Johnson County, upset throughout the past couple of years. Between the switchover from that and Bob Waste Management. So I know of at least a few that have switched away. I have no problem reaching out to them and asking them for who they are with now and if they like them, and then seeing what that could turn into.
Yeah.
But I think the focus for right now would be him coming back, giving us an adjusted quote. I can't imagine us entering into something new right now, considering that it expires soon anyway.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. So, if you could reach out to, you know, several other city managers and maybe see who they prefer, and maybe, Gail, you could contact them and get a bid.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you guys will work on that together.
From the way the contract reads, I interpret it that will expire December 31st of 2021.
Yeah. Fred just said December 31st of 2021. So that's,
okay.
That's a long time
ago. I'm going to go with Fred or Gail. I mean, neither of them are too far off, because I think Gail said October and Fred said December. I had a sneaking suspicion what was popping up in my head was that we had at least a year left of this contract, which is why I think it's crazy to me that he's bringing it to us now, thinking we were going to end it.
Yeah.
This is Dave Capella. I found the presentation that John gave, and I don't, of course, I didn't write down the amount of the increase, but but and just as far as getting my opinion on this, as Brady asked, hopefully it's something that is put off until the end of 2021, like Aaron said. And but I think it's a good idea to consider the fact that the recycling business in general is going to be less of a break-even for companies like Waste Management, and it's going to be a cost. So I think regardless of what the numbers show, this is something that is probably only going to get worse because the market has completely dried up. So it may end up being a cost, you know, more of a cost for cities like this. So, you know, whatever, we just need to realize we have to keep our options open. And if it is every other week recycling, that's something we have to consider. If they come to a point where cities just don't recycle,
so, yeah.
Anyway, I think it's, you know, it's a long way in the future, and hopefully we gather enough information, but it may be a different choice by the time we get all the numbers.
Sounds good to me. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys. Gail, what else do you have?
That was it.
That was it? Okay. Thank you very much. I think next in line would be Greg Preeb.
Hello, Greg here. I'm going to start by starting to maybe steal the hair of Brady's thunder about, Brady, you want to talk about Holiday Drive?
All yours. I'll fill in a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay. When I started talking about it, I didn't have a high enough pay grade as a city council member, so they wanted to talk to the mayor. So I know that that kind of got pushed over Brady there. But Brady has sent an email over earlier today that it looks like they are slowly putting wheels in motion here to get something going. There's a phone number here on the bottom, the email address. Is that good with you, Brady, if I reach out to try and help out here?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to make sure that it says they may be out there in the next couple of weekends. So I make sure this isn't going to happen on 4th of July weekend. I would be the biggest fool in town if that happened on Holiday Drive, 4th of July weekend. So I'll reach out to them and see if it says something in the next couple of weeks. And I didn't register with me until John, this is our last council meeting, until the 4th. So,
yeah.
I'll reach out to them, see if I can get some more information from them, and report back.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, I think you guys saw the email from
the... Also Holiday Drive.
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to talk also about switch over to stormwater unless you want to stay on some asphalt.
I was just going to say the email says we will work with the contractor today and try and get a schedule lined out. We may do the work on the weekend since there's typically less traffic. I agree with you. 4th of July weekend would be a nightmare. Hopefully they can do it before it. I can confirm that they were out there today, and it says they'll be out there to do the work in the next couple weeks. I'll let you know as soon as we have a schedule. So, Greg, just keep us in the loop because it'll probably, hopefully, fingers crossed, happen before our next meeting. So if you know of something coming up, a weekend where, you know, they're going to have to close part of that road, obviously, maybe we can send out through Q News and other avenues just a heads up to the residents.
Okay, Danny, I have a quick question. When I just read that note, I guess I want to make sure that it's not just a patch.
Yeah.
Rick, you've had conversations too, but I guess I was thinking it was going to be a little bit more – they have a little bit bigger project scope because we've been talking about it's not a patch. It's requiring some significant equipment brought in. And so just want to make sure that.
My computer froze up.
I want to make sure that we're all patching. So maybe Brady, you can fill in.
Yeah, I have had that conversation with them that it is not a patch this time like previous times. The guardrail is failing. The hillside is failing. I think I mentioned, even though we didn't have anything in writing from Chad Johnson with Olson, they need to cut that section of the road out and dig it back up. And I've explained that to them. Greg, when you reach out with them, I would reiterate that. And I requested, you know, once they, you know, had some sort of plan to let us know what it was, because I don't want them showing up one day and just doing some patches, obviously.
Okay.
Okay.
And then go ahead, Aaron.
Greg, this is Aaron. What I wanted to add real quick, whether we want to wait until after this one is done or whether we wanted to kind of look at it at the same time. But I have had a couple of residents reach out to me lately regarding a pothole that is getting worse and worse. That's also on unified government property. That is when you are traveling on Premier Lanes. Stretch where it's after Lake Lavera before you get to Shawnee, where the newer construction home is. So one that you might want to bring up as well.
Yeah, that's been patched before, right? Back when Mike Olson was mayor. And when it comes to potholes and stuff, they get out there pretty quick. They just don't last very long. So, yeah, Greg, you consider that.
If you remember, that one was patched before. That was one that they were told was city property when we had McEnany out to do some work. They ended up patching it. And when we pointed out to them that it was not within the city limits and that we were not going to pay for it, I think they approached unified government to get reimbursed through them instead. But it needs it again, probably.
Suggestion for Greg, and you can do with it as you want, but I would concentrate on Holiday and then maybe that app that you downloaded through Wyandotte County where you report potholes and stuff like that. Maybe do that. Just so it doesn't look like we're asking for much and see if that's, I feel like that's kind of what their app was aimed for, potholes and stuff like that.
Okay.
We might also want to list that app on our website, if people are interested, because I know we had a couple of residents contact me who thought that was within our city limits, but it was not.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What is the app?
Do you want me to email that app?
Yes, please.
Yeah, she said yes, please.
Okay.
All right, and then you said something else about Holiday Drive drainage.
Last meeting, I had the Holiday Drive stormwater drainage when Chad came in and went over his different proposals. This one's got kind of a multi-layered part to it that has done in coordination with Q-Inc. I don't think this is the best time to talk about it or more with the budget times.
I just maybe explain the project.
Want to talk about this one?
Yeah, and any other ideas you have. We'll talk about the cost and budget.
So that Chad sent me the scope and services. This is just for the engineering of it. This is not any of the construction work to be done. He's got multiple pages.
I did print
the
it
deadline
out
to get in with
on the internet,
but it's in with the design as a survey, established climate, geotech, investigation, how the characteristics of the soils, preliminary plans, construction documents, permitting, and bidding, any on-site meetings. But I don't know what railroad submittal is. I think that's because we have to go underneath the railroad. I can't remember what his drawing said off the top of my head. $65,000 to do all of that kind of preliminary upfront engineering work. But that, I want to make sure this does not include any of the actual work itself. This is the design and the bidding of it.
Mayor Lilger here. So this is a project that Chad suggested we work with Q Inc. at the same time. We needed to solve the water. I think Q Inc. had money set aside for this particular project. So they're kind of up above us, water coming down. We're down below. It doesn't make sense to fix down below until or around the same time that we're fixing up top, correct?
Yeah, we basically, if someone's spilling milk on the ground, we'd be cleaning the milk up and someone's still pouring milk from above. So it's kind of, he said this is up by that, I think it's a Q-Inc. Maintenance area up there, that both of these would need to be done at the same time, otherwise what we're doing is for nothing.
Okay.
That's the way I took it from his meeting.
And John, do you guys have any plans at Q-Inc. I know you were kind of waiting on us there for a little bit, but you've had money set aside for a while.
I think it's the same thing. We were waiting on y'all to decide on the bottom because, they need to be done together.
Agreed.
Does QLink have the, do you happen to know, do they have the funds set aside for this? Has it, is that our project already been funded?
We did. Let me, I'll tell you exactly here in a second.
Sorry, can I put you on the spot here?
Oh, that's fine. We've actually got 50.
How much?
$1,000 right now.
And I don't know if I have to ask, can you find out more about, because our engineering, the city engineering cost is $65,000. If you had an idea, I'd hate for us to dive into it. That's just $65,000 for the engineering city side. If he had an idea, if you could give us just something to know inside, they have any, is that, it's $50,000 going to get that project very far, you know?
Well, we had originally budgeted $75,000 and we've already done the basic engineering on it. Ours is a little bit different. It's mainly curbing and changing the flow of the water and how it comes off of vault maintenance and on down the hill. So, okay. I mean, I don't know that we're going to be doing it this year. We do have some contingency in road and stormwater, so we could add to that with money that's already been approved, but not specifically assigned to this project.
Okay.
And how long did you say engineering would take? Or did he? I guess the point I'm getting to is that I don't know if we're planning on doing that this year. Aaron, we didn't budget for it.
How long the engineering would take.
I don't see it. Okay, I thought I saw somewhere it said 60 days, so.
And when the question, when Chad was here talking about this, so there was the long, the big project. And then didn't we also talk about possibly we could improve it with, improving the ditching along there and, extending the concrete ditch or something. And although that wouldn't be the ultimate, but it could help us for a while. Do you guys remember that discussion at all?
Yeah, I think he said that, there's a more inexpensive way to do that, maybe with a piece of machinery and clean that ditch out, clean the culvert out, maybe clean it up a little bit. It wouldn't solve the issue, but it might be a temporary fix, I think, is my recollection of it.
Yeah, this is Dave. I've got the numbers that he provided. One was to replace the there's a small pipe that's 15 inches, replacing with a 42-inch reinforced pipe, and that was $103,000. There was a similar solution that was more of a triangular shaped pipe that was 108. That was the intermediate solution we're talking about. Just the pipe basically that goes under Holiday Drive is not big enough to take the water that comes down from the QN facility. So just to do that, the construction costs were between 103 and 108. To do the larger part, which was 3x3 inlets that are 150 feet apart, long Holiday Drive. The concrete channels, even larger inlets, 50 feet apart, curving and guttering, was $334,000. So to do the smaller fix of just replacing that culvert that runs under Holiday Drive, I don't believe that it included emptying out the ditch that's on the side of the road, but that was, ballpark 105.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. That sounds about right.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess to get this project off the ground is going to cost $65,000 right out of the gate. Michelle, what's your take on, you know, go ahead. Greg, I think you're cutting out. I can't hear you.
I was just going to complain about the cost, $65,000. You can hear it. The cheapest option is $100,000.
Yeah, we got you better now. Start all over. Where'd he go?
I didn't have anything. I was just thinking about for a $100,000 project is so expensive.
Okay, you were breaking up a little bit, but I think I understand what you're saying. To spend $65,000 on a roughly $100,000 project seems excessive to you, and I agree. It does. It seems kind of weird. Michelle, if we decide to do this, would you suggest that we enter into some sort of agreement with Q Inc. just to guarantee that, hey, we're going to do our part, you do your part, that type of deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want to make sure that everybody's understanding who's paying for what, that, like you say, it's actually getting done and when it's getting done.
Yeah.
That would all be spelled out in that agreement between the two parties.
Okay.
Brady, I think what we may want to do, and I'll do this, I'll reach out to Chad and discuss the engineering on our side. Our side is much more basic. I mean, it's just mainly curving, routing, but I'll ask that question here in the next couple of days. Maybe when we do the engineering, we need to, maybe that's what's done this year, and then we budget the actual work for right after the first or something, depending on your budget. And how our budget comes. But I'll reach out and find out, because that's a good question, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, are we needing more engineering, or is what he's done enough? And I'll know here. I'll find out what y'all know.
Okay. Appreciate that. All right. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in the budget session. Thanks, Greg. What else you got? Anything?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. All right. Dave McCullough.
The waste management odor calls, I know we've had quite a few last weekend or the weekend before. Anyway, I talked to Mike Hay, and it was a good conversation. His feedback was that the calls into the call center are a good thing because he was able to – he noticed there was an uptick from our location on Friday and then by Saturday – and he's trying out the loading of new waste on that mountaintop that they have. So he wants that to be something that our community uses. And I know Brady, you posted something on Facebook about that.
Mm-hmm.
We have it on our Lake Pierre City homepage. Just call that number.
Yeah.
Because they, according to him, they are trying to respond with, you know, when those calls keep coming in. And also, they're looking at August, September for the new cell to open. They always seem surprised when it rains in the spring. It is very hot, you know, so it's the rain pushed them back. It was scheduled for rain in the spring, but they don't. So anyway, once they start doing the liner for the new cell, he's going to give me a call, and I'll go out there, you know, just, you know, he kind of likes to have people come out there and take a look at things, and I'll get a sense of how close they are.
Sure.
That new hole in the ground opening. And John, one thing I'd like to know is who can I contact who would have a good sense of the, you know, the full calendar of events that are going on at, you know, at Lake Lavera?
Lisa Smith.
All right.
In her newsletter, she's now publishing a 2-month calendar.
Oh, great.
That'll be coming out here soon. But yeah, get with Lisa Smith.
Yeah, that newsletter is fantastic. I love that thing.
John, is she publishing all the weddings and all the golf tournaments and everything, or just things that run? I mean, what is she publishing?
It's mainly Lake Quivira events, and the intention is to start putting in, you know, when a wedding is so people can see what's going on as far as patio enclosure and that. We're still getting it all together. I mean, last month was our first stab at it. It'll be better this month, and it'll even be better next month. So Lisa is the one that's pulling it together.
Okay, and so is she going to be reaching out to all the residents? Because
there's a lot of events. Well, that's where she's working with the clubhouse, because most of the club events go through the clubhouse, so...
Yeah, I think this will be a little bit of a work in progress, but I'd like to get a comprehensive calendar out when we're having events here, so waste management know if they have something that's particularly offensive coming in, you know, to keep us in mind and put that off as long as they can. He did say once the new poll is ready to go, then they can pick and choose what they put on top of the mountain versus what they put in the hole to keep the odors down. So it feels like it's a good back and forth we have going with them now. I just want to make sure I'm keeping them in the loop as much as I can as far as how to avoid phone calls. But again, phone calls are a good thing. So that was all I had for the waste management side of things. The fuel station, four lucky individuals are going to go to their fuel station management training class, myself included, on June 18th at the Lawrence Doubletree. So we get an hour for lunch. But once we do that, then we can get certified by the state of Kansas to run our own fuel station. So hopefully we get some cool community store shirts or something, things on them. But that'll be a good step. So that's kind of the next step in the process. We'll do the training, and then as long as it looks like something that makes financial sense, time sense for the city, we can move forward with that. So it's been a kind of a feeling of the onion to figure out how to work with the state and everything, but I think it's going well. Brady, Kathy, Chief Fred, and I are all going to attend that training class. So thanks for Kathy for getting that all set up.
She's been welcome.
Working really hard to make sure we did our training. And, that's kind of all I had on that.
Real quick, Dave and Michelle, I have a note here that, and I don't know when it's from, but Michelle, you were going to look in just to make sure that, you know, a city-owned gas station and, you know, what we need to do to comply and all that. So maybe you and Dave can get together at some point and just kind of discuss that.
Sounds good.
Okay. That's it, Dave? Got it. Okay. That's everybody. Thank you, guys. On to the mayor's report. Let's see here. I did want to obviously talk about the 4th of July. And for the record, this is Mayor Brady Liljus speaking, not Kathy Bounds, as it might say on your screen. I'm simply using her laptop. So just wanted to get that on the record. So we kind of talked about 4th of July, Shawnee. It's kind of a waiting game with the and same with the promo item. So I think we're good with that. Just wanted to point out, you know, I think everybody here, myself included, is very fond of Fred. There was a Overland Park police officer who was shot, and they had a service for him, and Fred attended. Did you have other officers there?
I attended the vigil.
The vigil, and so, you know, several police cars and jurisdictions and all that stuff, and then he just got a nice letter from the police chief of Overland Park. If you guys want to come in and read it, but I just thought that was a.
In addition to the vigil, I asked Shannon Trevino to assist Overland Park with covering their shift while their department were in the morning stages and funeral stages.
Yeah.
So they put out a request for assistance to outside agencies, and we provided assistance
201 Park with police coverage.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's, yeah. So, thanks, Fred, for doing that. And I would suggest you guys all say the same to him. So, and if you want to read it, I've got a letter down here, but it's very well written from the police chief over there. Okay, next item I've got, I received an email. I'm going to read the email. It has approximately five questions regarding the topic earlier about the early release or leaked narrative to a resident that caused such a headache and uproar. So here is the letter. Mayor Lilger, my name is Dave White of 561 Lakeshore East and a former city council member. I am very aware of the care we took to be fiscally responsible for our taxpayers, and I would like clarifications on some disturbing happenings. Because of the leaking of a recent council meeting of the minutes, which as I understand were not yet approved, how much money did this unnecessarily cost our taxpayers, and how much did this cost those personally having to fix this? I don't think Dave's listening. I don't see it on the screen, but I still feel like we need to address it. First of all, it was not a leak of the meeting minutes. Again, this was simply a narrative of the meeting minutes. We've been told that not the entire narrative was released to the resident, just the section that mentioned the NDA. So I want to let Dave know that. When it comes to, trying to figure out taxpayer dollars and how much did those cost those personally having to fix this, I don't want to put a number. Michelle spent, significant time on it. John Christie spent significant time on it that Monday. And myself too, trying mainly just to decipher what the heck are they talking about, and under increased pressure because there were some, either some CC'd, well, we found out that they weren't CC'd, but veiled threat to CC the Johns County District Attorney and the Kansas Attorney General. I don't want to put a cost on it, or a price. I will say that some of the accusations, we pride ourselves on sunshine laws and executive sessions and COMA and all that. And so just for that to go out, or even the veiled threat to go out, I was very disappointed with. I feel like our reputation as a city and city council, even with the three new members, that's something that we're proud of. And to have that question, in the way it was, in my opinion, was offensive. So obviously there was significant time. For instance, John, took 3 hours of his day when he could have been meeting with clients. Same thing with myself. It was just an unfortunate incident that could have been resolved in a, like John said, a phone call, cup of coffee, anything. So just really disappointed on how that went down. I do want to note that, we did submit the information to the Quivirin, and we have no control over that information once we submit it. While there's been an expectation, the Quivirin would publish the information in the form received without discussion with others. I mean, I just assumed she, or the editor, just printed what was sent to her. I never thought that it was shared with others before it was published. So again, disappointed with that. But again, the Quivirin is not a part of the Lake Quivira city government, and as a result, not controlled by the city. And I think, we talked about this before. If they want to do an article about the city, then they can come and do report an article themselves. So that was the first question. John, I'd like you to jump in if you have any addition, and Aaron, you too, since you were in the meeting, to that first question.
Okay.
Or are you happy with my answer?
I am happy with your answer, Mr. Barron.
Okay. Question number two, do we have any legal recourse to those responsible for the leak and for sending correspondence to a resident which could have been avoided by a simple phone call? I'm not an attorney. The simple answer is no. Michelle, you're welcome to add anything you want to that, but, you know, frankly, for some of the reasons stated in the in my answer to the first question, we really don't. Okay. Question number three, how much does the city, not including what the board gives, goes to fund the Quivirin? And that is $350 a month. When Mike Olson was mayor, I think it was $200 a month. I think it was if I remember correctly, a unanimous decision to increase it to $350 and include the narrative. And we were happy to do that. So that answers his question. His next one is, why would we continue to fund the paper? I had the same sentiments. I immediately thought, well, that's it for this paper. There is a part of me that respects the Quivirin and enjoys seeing the positive articles and another reason that we do contribute money to it. You know, we can publish our ordinances, our budget, which is very easy to do. So that's another reason. Now, having said that, we do have this under discussion, under new business, if we want to continue to do that. To answer Dave's question, the mayor's report, publishing ordinances and budget, and we are no longer doing the narrative. So when we talk about that under new business, just keep that in mind. Okay. John, Aaron, any follow-up to that?
This is John, and until the new business, but Aaron, can you speak to, do we have a contract with the Quivirin, or is it just an ongoing quarterly payment?
This is Aaron, Lexi, City Administrator. We do not have a contract. It's just an ongoing quarterly payment, kind of one of those situations where it was sealed with a handshake, nothing more than that. Brittany, the only thing I was going to add is that during the meeting, not to go into lots of details, but we did make it clear that we have appreciated. Over the years, the company, and enjoyed the human interest stories and appreciated the city aspects that we have been able to publish in the past. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Would not be in favor of trying to renegotiate that contract immediately based on a lack of submission of the narrative. As Aaron said, and was certainly a large topic of conversation in that meeting, is the Quivirin, by and large, has been a good partner of the cities. I guess that's my opinion would be that if we don't adjust that payment immediately while we sort all this out.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks, John. He then says, it makes me so sad and disappointed that citizens in this small community would act in this manner. This may have an effect on our property values if this irresponsible behavior goes unchecked. For the record, who was copied on the letter? It was addressed specifically to John Christie, myself, all Lake Quivira council members, our city attorney, Leanna Walters, the editor of the Quivirin, and then those were the actual CC'd copies that we could see at the beginning of the email thread. You got a question, Greg?
Brady, can I correct real quick?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that actually I did not receive a copy of it. It was actually sent to my father's email address.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, he emailed the wrong Greg Preet. So I will we'll have to amend those minutes, I guess, next month. So, and then I wrote at the very bottom of the letter, after he signs his name, he had typed CC'd with the people I just mentioned individually, as well as five attorneys, three or four that had the same last name as the author of this letter, Steve Howe, Johnson County District Attorney, and Derek Schmidt, the Kansas Attorney General. Again, this goes back to the time and money it took to figure this out. I spoke with the author of this letter on the phone a day or two after this happened, and he assured me that that was a simple threat, or a threat meant to get our attention, and that he did not send it to those attorneys or the Attorney General or the District Attorney. I simply said, well, you know, unfortunately, I wouldn't be doing my job as mayor if we didn't follow up with that because, you know, again, it comes down to our reputation. We did nothing wrong, and there was a possibility that, you know, several attorneys and several powerful people could get this letter. So we followed up on it. We found out that it was not emailed to Steve Howe or Derek Schmidt. And as far as the other five attorneys, we didn't have any information with them. A couple other conversations with the author said he fully admitted that it was meant to grab our attention and initiate a response. Aaron, John, am I correct there?
This is Aaron Lefty, City Administrator. Yeah, they're spot on. I believe he specifically used the words to make sure that we responded in a timely manner.
Correct. Yeah. And, yeah, so those are Dave's questions. You know, unfortunately, he's not we're on this Zoom where we're not allowing follow-up. So he might have some other questions once the meeting comes live. He did say he wanted to try and attend virtually, but I think he's out of town or something. So if he listens to these minutes once they're approved and is, you know, happy with them, we can move on. If not, we can possibly expect additional questions, as well as from other residents, too. I think this letter and story is kind of out there. And the Quiberian is going to come out in a day or two with a response from John, possibly a response from the editor of the Quiberian. And myself, that we'll talk about even more. So, as much as I want this to go to bed, you know, we might be hearing about it for a couple months, but, yeah. Dave, Annie, Greg, do you guys have any questions about anything since we're just talking about that right now? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Dave White. Appreciate it. We talked about Fred. I mentioned the stickers for the new police vehicle. Again, like I said, if you get questioned, well, the white one's in the shop and this one's new. We don't have decals on it yet. We did have a really productive meeting. Aaron, Kathy, and Fred, myself, just kind of talking about, you know, future projects, 2021 and all that stuff. So I thought that went really well, which hopefully should make our budget talk tonight go a little smoother. So again, thanks you guys for that meeting. And that's all I've got as far as my mayor's report. So if nobody has any questions, we can move on to old business, which is budget discussion.
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to, because kind of no one wants to hang out, or we can do it now? Totally up to you.
I prefer the end. I was just going in the order of the agenda. But, yeah, let's skip to number two under old business, which is considering recycling items, which I guess we can talk about all over again. Did we lose Gail again? We did, huh? Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to old business number three, which was consider 4th of July promotional items. John discussed that. We've got that figured out. Consider a date for bulk event item. Talked about that already, so we're moving on to new business. Appointment and reappointment of non-elected city officials. Do I have a bad time of year again to appoint city officials? And Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but this will be your official appointment, correct?
Correct. So I finished out Ellis's term, and then now this will be, I guess, the beginning of my term.
Yeah. Okay. Kathy ran to go get something, so why don't we skip to number two, let's discuss the future article submissions to Quivira newspaper and if we want to continue contributing, even though we've already discussed this a little bit. Annie, what are your thoughts with how it went down with the Quivira and all that? What's your opinion?
Well, I'm curious to see what's going to be published, I guess, is my first thing. And, you know, I guess my initial reaction was pulling. I mean, that was my first reaction. Then after I sort of sat back, Quivira is truly a big part of this community and always has been. It touches different people in different ways, some who are not as good on the internet. You know, they've got this document that they can go through, they can send it to grandparents. You know, it's just got a history. So I would hate to you know, pull that out. But of late, for lack of a better word, on a lot of things, and this kind of proves that out a little bit that I don't quite know how to say that, but so that's disturbing to me because it's supposed to be a community of the people and be a way that we all can gather data, both sides of data, and I'm not sure that I get the feeling that of the last year, couple years, it hasn't really been. So I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm torn by, like, just pulling everything out, but it really does make me wonder if there's, you know, we just need to have some serious talks about what are some potential other options or ways of getting that information out. And, I think it's critical for the community to have a paper of record. And so, anyway, those are my thoughts.
Okay, thanks. Greg, you want to chime in?
Okay, I was pretty disappointed to hear about it, especially when just a few meetings ago, I kind of felt like we were I don't say it's lightly called out, but some of the comments is kind of especially because we are so open on everything that we do, that a simple phone call, like you said, couldn't have been made just to clarify on such a simple mistake that was not even officially voted upon for minutes. So I think it could have been handled much better on multiple parties.
Yeah.
But like what Annie said, this, if I know when that comes in our mailbox, and my wife and I, we like to look through it right away, kind of see what's in there. It is cool to see little events that have occurred in the last month, in the things. It is cool to see. So it
it would be sad to see if we decided to stop supporting it, if that would cause that paper to go out of business. That would be a sad thing, but it's too bad it can't maybe get knocked back on track.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the meeting you're referring to was when the editor questioned the new format of the narrative, which was a suggestion from our city attorney, and questioned Michelle and Kathy, our clerk. It was just kind of a aggressive tone. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think actually we did talk about the minutes as well. Do we release the minutes because they're not voted upon? I believe this specific situation was talked about. I think that's Michelle was there also. I think because it was only like, was it a couple? It's been the last six meetings, the last six months.
Yeah. I agree with you, Dave, or Greg. Dave, what are your thoughts, bud?
I do like the idea of exploring other options for how our obligation to distribute the information should be useful. My my degree is in journalism, so I like the idea of a newspaper. I like the idea of reporting, free press, all of that things. But the reality is that, you know, if you look back over the past year or so, this is kind of relates to what Annie was saying, that the tone of that, and especially by a few people, it has almost hijacked the spirit of the editorial side of it. I still like all the pictures, my son loves seeing it. There's a picture of him on the novel wobble, it's great, but the tone of it is gotten more confrontational and angry, and I think it is just a couple of people who have done that. I'd love to see it stay. I think, good newspaper has an editorial board, not an editor, and to have more people involved would be a good thing, but I'm not volunteering for that. So I don't know. I guess I've identified some issues I have with it. I'm not bringing any solutions to it. But like Greg said, I don't want to. I feel really bad about the decision of making it into that valuable community resource. I just don't like the trend of it. This is another example of that, is sending information to an individual who has a track record of partial facts and stirring things up that don't exist. So I don't like that tone. I'd rather have it be more impartial, and like maybe that's just the trend of the world right now anyway. You get more, clicks as eyeballs if you stir things up. But I do think it's an important resource that I'd like to keep today, to have it stay, but also if there's a more economical way for us to get our information out there, I'd like to support that too.
Yeah, well said, and similar to Annie's, and yeah, I think Annie said it best, in my opinion. Let's wait and see in a couple of days what comes out, and make a decision. Gail, can you hear us? Can anybody hear Gail? You're not on mute, Gail, but we can't hear you. John, you want to, while she's working on that, do you want to add anything?
No, I feel like we're all on the same page. I'm of the impression that you guys have me a minute here. Not ready to get Zoom bombed by half my children. But I am of the impression that the city is probably the second largest contributor to the paper behind Q Inc. And so I think it's a valuable resource or a valuable community aspect. Like others have intimated, I believe the community feel-good stories are the the best aspect of the paper and, you know, the black box system. In the 6 or 7 years I've been here, I felt like it used to be much more community based, and then people use black box distribution to make their points, and now that seems to be more prevalent in the paper. I guess some would argue that's a positive, some would argue it's a negative. But I, while very, very, very disappointed in how this whole thing unfolded, feel that the I don't think there was malicious intent, and I don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction decision that could create financial hardship for the paper.
That sounds good. Gail, you want to try again?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. Of course, I've missed out on probably a lot of this discussion, but I like the Quivira. I think it's really a good way to, you know, communicate all of our events and like them to everybody else has said, all the fun things we do and all of that. And, you know, I know that it's important on the wing side, and I think people to hear comments from the mayor, and they like to hear comments from the president of the board. And I think that becomes a good thing for those people to communicate their views on what's going on in their areas, whether that be sometimes funny or sometimes very serious and all that. You know, I know the board summary it goes from being very brief to, I mean, it's not anything like what ours is. I mean, it doesn't go, you know, quickly word by word. It's not, ours isn't quite word by word, but, I know there has been situations where the editor thought that maybe the board summary didn't have any words in it, or it wasn't long enough, or like that. So there's that aspect of it. For me, because I really did, I mean, there's been a lot of controversial things going on with just a few people over the last, year and a half. And so it's been kind of educational for me and others like me who are not a part of all that, who have actually opened our eyes to what's going on versus, you know, you could also be on one of the secret sites or whatever there is, but, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. So I haven't had a problem with that. I think it serves a good purpose. I don't know comfortable putting so much narrative in to the paper because, people can now on our website, they can hear everything that we say. So if they want to really listen, they could. And if, you know, if the mayor's letter just highlighted a few things we are dealing with, you know, maybe that's all we need to do, but I'm not really in favor of removing the city from being a part of the Quivira.
Okay.
And I know probably a lot of the Quivira is paid for through ads and stuff, so it's not like probably our $350. It's you know, important.
Right.
Whether it gets reduced to this, whatever. But I would be disappointed if something happened to the Quivira. That paper promotes a lot of our events and a lot of feel good stories. And I think that's important for our community. And somehow or another, I don't know, that, you know, there's always negative editor letters and all of that, but it felt like it got way out of hand this year, or maybe the last year. I'm
But it made all of us very aware of what was going on in, you know.
Yeah.
Those of us that are so involved in the community, and then there's the ones that aren't, that are second guessing.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you missed there, but that seems to be the sentiment from the council so far. Aaron, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I don't really. This is Aaron Lefke, City Administrator. I don't really have anything to add in addition, echoing pretty much what everyone else said. I do think that the support that we give is a nice gesture. I think that it, the actions that have occurred probably will just, and it's sad to base actions off of a negative circumstance, but it's something that I feel like we're kind of contemplating and going back and forth against the decision to publish the narrative there, whether we did that or whether we did not. To me personally, this was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back that leads me to not want to do a narrative in the paper, especially because we have spent some money over the past couple years upgrading our city website and focusing on social media accounts and doing other things like that. While we do not, my leaning is more towards not publishing the narrative, I feel like able to have our contribution in it. Through the mayor's letter or through any other articles that we may have, flyers regarding bulk pickup, pet vaccination day, things like that. I do feel like things like that are a great thing for us and a way that the city can still support the paper, just maybe not as wholeheartedly as we have in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, very well said. Okay. So it sounds like,
you know, Brady.
Yep.
Brady, I have one other comment. You know, we have to all recognize history of the Quiberon.
Mm-hmm.
It has basically charted our history.
Yeah.
And it's important that, I mean, this paper's been around a long, long time. I mean, you know, you can go back. I mean, there's many, many, many years of on the web. I mean, it's a huge source of information for me when I'm just some of the things that I do. So it's sort of the historian of our community in hand. I just don't feel like we should be disrupting that.
Yeah, fair enough. So, okay, well, let's address this again next month after we get the paper in a couple days and get to read everything and evaluate again and maybe gauge some public interest. But yeah, it sounds like we're all on the same page for right now. So I think we can move on from that topic and go to the mayor's appointment, City of Lake Quivira non-elected city officials. I'm just going to go down through the list. City Attorney Michelle Days, Municipal Court Judge Dan Parker, City Prosecutor Josh Allen, City Administrator, City Treasurer Aaron Lecky, City Clerk, Court Administrator Kathy Bounds, Alex Grenier, Building Maintenance Tech / Custodial, Chief of Police, Building Official Fred Grenier, Deputy Chief of Police Shannon Trevino, Police Officer Reese Hayes, Police Officer Manuel Omas Molina, Police Officer Roy Owens, Police Officer Glenn Canizaro, Police Officer Jeremy Buddy, Police Officer Troy Castleman, Police Officer Zach Stamper, Police Officer Todd Bledsoe, and Police Officer Dan Tennis. So this will be the appointment for those just listed for the next year. They are the non-elected city officials. Any questions, comments, motions to approve?
I motion what are they?
The mayor's appointment of City of Lake Quivira non-elected officials.
Okay, the mayor's of City of Lake Quivira non-elected officials.
Okay, I've got a motion. Do I have a second? Who was that?
Dave.
Okay, Dave McCullough. We have a motion and second. Any discussion from anybody? No? Okay, all those in favor? Okay. Those opposed? All right, motion carries. And for the record, the bottom, at least it's a bottom on mine, but the 913-780-3399 phone number, that's Councilmember Greg Preeb. His phone died, and so he's calling from a different phone, just so you guys know. Okay. That's it. Now budget discussion, right, based on my agenda?
I believe you were going to go back and approve the minutes. This is Aaron Lutke, City Administrator.
Thank you.
Since we had tabled that till the end.
Okay, thank you. I forgot. John?
Yeah, and I read, and please tell me, this is John Crispy. Michelle, please tell me if this isn't specific enough, but I would suggest that if we remove the third sentence from the third paragraph and fifth and sixth sentence from the fourth paragraph, doesn't remove any salient information and avoids any confusion of
six from the fourth paragraph.
What was that?
Okay, is that right?
John, could you repeat those again? I'm sorry. And you're on page 6, is that right?
I'm sorry. So this is under my council report. So it would be page 6 of 9. So the third paragraph under Council Christie, if we remove the third sentence, okay. And then the
John, is that where it begins?
If we remove the fifth and sixth sentence, which also addresses what Annie brought up earlier in the meeting.
And just to be clear, John, can you read those sentences? Yeah, not in a motion, but just to make sure. Can you read those sentences just to make sure Kathy and I are looking at the same ones?
Or so I'll the just... sentence on the third paragraph is Council President Chris Gannigan, the person who wrote it was obviously granted access. The unapproved narrative, and we had a chance to review it, and unfortunately, instead of making a quick phone call, which could save a lot of time, man hours, or basically distributed, so that would be the third paragraph, fourth paragraph, fifth and sixth sentence would be, this was a part Annie was referring to. He noted the question was rebuffed with others, et cetera, council. President Christie noted he disagreed with the assessment and pointed out the general feeling for those
journalists. Okay. I think Kathy got that. So, I guess Michelle, does that answer John's question on how that motion should be made?
Yeah, I think that's good. So the motion would just be move to approve the minutes as amended by Council Christie.
Okay.
Or if Councilmember Christie makes the motion,
yeah.
He can just move that the minutes be approved as amended.
I'll make that motion that the minutes be approved as amended.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
This is Annie Nolan. I second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and second. Any discussion about this?
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you for reminding me of that, guys. Okay. Budget discussion, right?
Okay.
Now the fun begins.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Erin Leike, City Administrator. Going back to the budget, I think the easiest way to do this is that we've done in years past. Hopefully everyone has a printed copy or is able to look at a copy of the budget worksheet that I sent out. We are going to go down line item by line item. Each line item is attached to a 5-digit code, and that is how I will refer to them. So if there's anything that we want to discuss further, just kind of color along as we're going. I did make a couple of notes of things that we want to add that we can talk about at the end. Also, just wanted to give the quick reminder of you. Reason we do the budget is to be able to spend the money. If we did not have a budget that was ratified, then we would not be able to spend anything. Also, what we are trying to set is property tax level, and we will do that by going into items and seeing what we need. So, starting on page one is all revenues. Starting with 40011, Jones County Appalachian, that is what we are trying to determine by doing our budget. 40012, we usually do not account for any money, that's why it's at zero, but we do usually get some, just not something we can account for. Yeah. 40013, that was the one that I told you we were supposed to have received by May 1st. We ended up getting it about May 10th. So that is our motor vehicle number from Jones County. You'll notice they're expecting a little bit of a downturn due to the pandemic responses.
Yeah.
40014 is a number that I estimate myself based off of previous year. Again, being optimistic that things will pick back up, but not enough to raise it or anything. I even lowered it by a little bit. Yeah. Any questions about that?
I guess that's the only one that hit me on 40014. I just thought I was still being a little bit too optimistic. I don't know, but of all the lines, is that the one that has probably the most impact?
I think that's the one that most cities are struggling with the most, because we have absolutely no clue. The number of staff we've seen so far show that they are going down. Now we will not have the numbers for really in the heart of the pandemic. April's numbers, we will not receive until our June payment at the end of the month. I think that'll give us a little bit of a better idea. But through the pandemic, I've noticed the sales numbers, of course, have gone down, but the use has gone up because that's more of the Amazons and the online ordering. So I'm keeping it there for now, if that makes sense, but I'm more than happy to move it once we see the June numbers to see if April's in.
That's good.
But yeah, great point. Again, for Wyandotte County at Lorem 40021, that is what we are determining with our, when we set our bill levy. Delinquent again, 40022, always at zero, even though that will get some revenue. Motor vehicle, we did receive that number from Wyandotte County, and they're actually expecting an increase. So once again, no one really knows how to treat next year. And then same with 40024, our Wyandotte County numbers are small compared to Johnson County and don't seem to have been affected by anything this year. We're still right on track. Any other questions about those so far? Okay, moving on, we're going to look at dog. We kept the same. Building, we kept the same. Franchise fees, I raised Time Warner because that is merged with Spectrum. And since we have switched over to them as a city hall, we're actually receiving a little bit more money back. So if you are curious about that, where that came from, KCPL, I kept the same because, once again, we don't receive that payment until June. And so we don't really know what direction it's heading until then. West Star, I think they go down quite a bit based off of the information we've received thus far from West Star. AT&T, I kept the same based off of the payments we've received so far. Normally, all of those, if you've noticed in the past couple of years, most of them have gone up. But
given the current circumstances, that they're even most of them are the same. Court signs they kept the same. No clue what's going to happen there. We did a big lowering between 2019 and 2020. And pre-pandemic, we were on track for exceeding that number, which is why I kept it the same, just waiting on some more data. Service station rent for right now, just to be safe, we kept it with the increase in the price that it would pay if Terry took it over. Barring if they or Brady or Kathy or Fred come back from the training and say, no, we're sure we're taking it over and we think it's this. Better on the revenue side to underestimate. And so I figured for underestimating purposes, that would be best if we just kept it as if Terry were to own it. That's what we would have to do.
And if you,
alcohol, we received that number from the league. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Brady.
No, I apologize. Brady Lilja. And if we do take over the service station, what happens with that? What are we able to do with that? Never mind. I'm good.
You sure?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So our alcohol numbers actually come from the League of Kansas Municipalities, so that's an actual number. Interest income was an estimate. Our CD has been doing fairly well, and we haven't been needing to touch the money in it, so I raised it up a little bit from where it was the year before. Fire equipment sale, we're pretty much out of equipment, so that's why you'll see that number going away. Johnson County and Wyandotte County, normally the highway numbers 41010 and 41020. Normally we have those already, but the document that they sent out still had 2020 numbers and not 2021s. A lot of cities have contacted them, so we're kind of waiting around to hear back. And then finally, to round out revenues, the alcohol, the second half of it, we are required as a city in Kansas to put half of our alcohol funds towards Parks and Rec, so we use the other half of the money we receive to help pay for the fireworks. And that is an actual number from the league. Is there anything revenue-wise before we move on to expenses that anyone wanted to talk about further?
Brady Lilja, you said the alcohol number is confirmed? That number is confirmed?
That is the confirmed number.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other revenue questions? Everyone good for expenses?
I'm ready.
Moving on to expenses, we have our wage numbers that we usually do current plus 3%. This one for 50101 went up a little bit more with a raise that was given. Wages part-time is just current number plus 3%. Wages over time kept the same. Payroll taxes kept the same because it seems to be right where we are. Capers, we moved up just a little bit. Insurance kept the same based off of conversations with our state employee health plan representative. Food, I decreased just a little bit because our current employees who use that position don't quite utilize the clubhouse services as much as in the past, but kept them in there just in case that changed.
Yeah.
And we also use money to pay for the lunch for the day that we have the auditors in.
Yep.
Mileage slightly decreased, same thing. There's not as many errands running with current staff. Training, I went to a slight increase. Brady, that's a number that I wanted to, if you want to just kind of give Kathy a look, that was one that she was going to look at. It's normally at 1,000 to cover training for city, but she had talked about in our meeting possibly an increase if she did not receive as large of a scholarship for the city clerk training. So,
yeah.
She may have something different to add.
I don't tonight. I'm sorry.
Okay. She's going to work on that, and she can give you that number in July, correct?
Yes, perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I raised it to 1,200 just Kathy's info, and then if we need to change that, we can do so.
Okay.
Supplies kept the same. Dues and subscriptions, minimal gain for some of the other organizations that we let our employees join, which is great. Phone for planning kept the same. Repair and maintenance, I raised slightly because we seem to be just paying them more and more for our computer servicing. Equipment replacement, I had it go down, not totally away, but since we don't have an actual planned equipment purchase in 2021, due to office fixtures that have been replaced in prior years. Any questions about that section before we move on?
The equipment replacement, does that include computers, copy machines, stuff like that?
So that is all electronic equipment outside of the copier. It actually has its own line.
Another question. I had one complaint about the chairs in the audience. Would that fall under that?
I guess it probably would, since I've been here, since we have not replaced any type of office equipment. That normally falls under the supplies. City supplies or city equipment replacement. But yes, that would actually, we could put it there. We could also put it as repair and maintenance under the building.
Okay.
Where do you put maintenance for desk?
Referring to.
So, Erin?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay.
And I couldn't tell if I was being. So, do we have, that's what we have. So, Brady's talking about chairs or chains.
I believe the chairs that Brady's talking about are the chairs that are in the council chambers that the audience sits
right.
in.
Right.
And those could easily go into this category if that is where we choose to put them. Brady.
Yes, that's correct. The ones Fred is taking, if you look at Fred's
yes.
screen right now, those chairs right there.
It's circa 1968.
He's on mute, but he said circa 1968. So, okay, got that. Thank you.
They probably are. I agree with them on that lens. Those fall into the strange category because they're used by all, which is why I was thinking of adding them to the repair and maintenance for the building, or building, changing that line item to say repair and maintenance for building or accessories. This is guests and employees. But then they're also sat in by courts, which is why I have it in the non-departmental instead of just city. But we can do it in either place.
Okay, doesn't matter to me. I'll defer to you if we even do anything.
This is Dave McCullough. If it comes to the point where we're ordering chairs, is that something that goes through the whole bid and we approve it and all that stuff? Yeah, I'm just thinking that's a lot of chairs and we probably don't even replace all of them because we only usually have about 10 to 12 people there.
I agree. Yeah. Okay.
Side tidbit, you also will make the volunteers or the somewhat paid volunteers who work at voting day really happy as well because that's usually a complaint we get.
Yeah.
I'm
sure these will give it to us and I don't think we need to want any that we have.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, moving on. Your department wages will correspond with city. So for full time, so 50201 you'll see it's the same as 50101 was. Part time, a little bit of the gain due to the 3%. Overtime, I kept the same. Payroll taxes, I kept the same. Capers, KPF, same again, just based off of new trends. Insurance, the same. Food, slight decrease, Same thing as stated above. Training, that was when we went through with Kathy, and she thought that number was great. Supplies, same. Court fees went down slightly since we haven't had the number of court traffic in way long time ago, so we've kind of been cutting that number down by a little bit each year to get it in line with where we actually are. Losing subscriptions here stayed the same, and then equipment replacement, same as above. Any questions specifically in that section?
Yes, please. Brady Lilja, in regards to the insurance benefit, you're pretty certain that's going to stay the same?
I had a discussion with the people from the state employee health plan, and it sounded like if we would see an increase, it would be the same as the ones we've seen in the last couple of years, which would still make that number fall right where it's supposed to.
Okay. John, I know you've got a little insurance background, not necessarily in this, but does that sound about right to you? You anticipate it staying the same?
Yes, this is John Christian. Full disclosure, I have my health insurance license and do my absolute best to never, ever, ever use it. That does seem fairly consistent with what, I think that's a...
Gotcha. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. We will keep going then. So repair and maintenance building is where I put it. But we moved it back up to 10,000. This is where I would ask for help though, because gutters, I know is one thing that we discussed in our meetings. Chairs is one thing that we've discussed. Whether we think those can both be done for 10,000 or any other projects that pop up, or if that number needs to be even higher than that, let me know.
Huh. That's tough. I guess we can get a gutter bid pretty easily. Walk around City Hall. Just for total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean I know we won't be getting like fancy schmancy chairs, but I'm just telling you the chairs like we got, even if they cost, that kind of stuff costs more than you think.
Really?
So, that seems a little low.
Okay.
Do you think more of like 15,000? So we will be changed from 0322 to 15,000. Sorry, got my ruler. Okay, utilities stay the same.
I was just going to say chairs that we bought one of these like machines to sit at a table on the patio. There are a lot of money in what you in our normal little park ticket chairs that we have, what they usually seem like. But it also is, because, so this is, you're saying, this up to 10,000 repair and maintenance, the city hall, right? We're talking,
yes.
Like this is where if we could get, we did anything in the trunk of the small desk. This is the much delighted from.
Yes, so if we did any planned repairs and maintenance to the building, that would be more where this category fell into. If we're referring to more of like the possibility of the changing of the fire base or doing anything construction wise under that. Unless we're positive we would do it in 2021, my recommendation would be to pull it out of the reserve fund so that way we have a little bit more flexibility on when we do it and a little bit more openness on what the cost of that would be. Does that make sense?
And that would include the discussion of possibly reconfiguring the parking lot?
That also, same thing. Unless we had an actual, the stage of the engineered plans and all the, right, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I feel a little bit more comfortable putting more things into the reserve accounts, just giving us the flexibility if we decide to do it in 2021, that's right, or if we decide, oh, something happens with the building, we need to put money towards that, we're going to hold off and do it in 2022 instead or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do, like, if we say using a parking lot as an example, I mean, is there how this works? It's like, just go by so quickly and you know, we've been talking about some of these things for a while, and of course, they all require some sort of a engineering or, you know, design. So, because we can't just, or maybe we can all just decide what we want to do. I know the ball thinking about is the front of the actually would be, are we going to lane in there? You know, what are we going to do? And what options? So we don't have anything in the budget to even think about that. We won't be even thinking about it 2022. We're talking about what are we going to do in 2021. But this be coming out of reserve, we actually decided, you know, maybe we do need to prove how one of our community and in and out of taking left hand turn on to press to the hall being to the hall, and where would the money come from to even get Olson and associate somebody to you know, give us a plan that we could present to Q Wink and some others as far as you know, we think we're going to add another lane when we drive in through the property. You know, but this is kind of longer term stuff. So where does...
Yes. So the money for that, the reason that I put it into the reserve accounts is because those can be spent for anything. All it needs is just a council vote. So if the council were to decide, hey, we really want to pursue doing an engineered plans or a architectural study. Now you're seeing where I am, have no intelligence level whatsoever. But to start with step one, get Olson or someone like them to come out and do a design, that would be something that we could even do in 2020. That's the flexibility that the reserve funds give us. If the council decided that next month, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, to do that study, then we would do a simple vote. We could even create its own line item in our reserve funds. It could be moved within any of the reserve funds that they needed to. And then we would be able to spend that money then.
Yeah.
The funds that we're discussing now, all of the 50s, 51s, 52s, 53s, 54s, and 55s, if we put it in there for 2021, then we either use it or lose it. In a way, we are opening up to this is what we can spend. We can spend more than that, but we can't exceed the total that we budget in those funds. So that is why I always encourage a little bit more utilization of the reserve funds, just to give a little bit more flexibility, because that money doesn't go anyplace if we don't spend it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay,
everyone going to go on?
Yep.
Okay. Utilities, 50330, I kept the same. Phone went down with the new system and the new phone. We're actually paying less for better internet. Copier and fax, so I kept it at 500. I know that we had talked about that's one that would possibly change. our coffee machine is malfunctioning. We have had people come out to look at it a couple of times, and it is unfixable. So we are essentially waiting for it to shoot craps completely and then get a new one. We talked about, instead of actually buying one outright, that we would look at getting a lease program so that if it did have problems, then it may come with its own repair services included. But that's a number that I am expecting will probably change. But until I have more concrete numbers, I kept that the same. Everyone good to move on to page 3?
Yes.
All right, so for cleaning, 50335, I moved that number down because we no longer have a cleaning service. We hired Alex, and he does it for much less. Kept a little bit of money in there for supplies and then for pest control as well, though. Mowing and landscape, another number that we moved up significantly between 2019 and 2020. We seem to be staying within that number, even with new projects that we do. I kept snow removal the same. Mayor's budget. Normally, this is one that we'd go down every other year, but we moved it up to 3,000 with the 50th celebration. If we think that you need more, we can do that as well. But just kind of threw a number in there.
More.
I'll cover champagne.
You know, that's why I think, with Annie and her committee and Gail, you know, we just need to decide what we want to do. You know, one option is when we did the fireman's ball, and Mike Olson would know this, Annie, we were able to get a significant contribution from, waste management. It might have had something to do with it being a firefighter ball, but talk to Mike about it and think about that. But that was a pretty good little bonus to have. And, you know, there's several options to think about. Do we want to make this a grand, fancy 50th anniversary? Do we want it to be casual? You know, we've got to think about, you know, what people are going to want. We, you know, I would prefer some sort of promotional item. And it could be for purchase, but a 50th anniversary promotional item or something. You know, does the current city council and mayor and staff get their, and spouses get their meals paid for? You know.
We definitely don't have enough money in the budget. Everything's just listed.
Right.
We have to have like a walk-a-thon or something.
Right. And I don't know if Quivira Inc. gave Mike a little break on some of the, you know, the renting of the ballroom and food. They might have, but I don't think they do much for the member guests.
Yeah.
Well, you have to say what the $2,500, so $3,000, unless we get the whole that, 3,000 is gives you a huge amount of things. And it's using, I mean, the media of the band. I mean, let's, you know, have together probably and a few others. And
yeah, I think we all acknowledge that $3,000 isn't going to go far for a 50th anniversary city party. So that's when we talk to Aaron and say, Aaron, can we get money from somewhere else? So maybe we say, Aaron, we want our budget to be $12,000, $15,000. What does that do to our, you know, mill levy type stuff? I mean, give us some suggestions.
Okay, so I will play around with that number. We'll come back to that one.
Okay.
Going down, stormwater, I kept the same based on past three cities, same, planning commission, same, which if we are not planning on doing any type of studies, surveys, any of that kind of stuff, the Planning Commission is always a great place to pull from to cut that down and put more money towards mayor for that year. So that would be one option. Publication for right now, I think the same. Same with legal audit. Same with payroll, and then same with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on anything?
Our insurance come down a little bit because wasn't the fire truck on that?
Yeah, but then we added another police car, so we know how to.
That's true.
But we did remove the fire truck from the hovercraft.
Insurance, property liability, or yeah, property general liability and stuff. Who's the company we go through for that?
So most of our stuff is through Travelers, but then we're also through Chainit.
Okay.
Or our workers' comp.
Okay.
Christy, I don't remember if it was this council or a prior council, but at one point we had talked about increasing deductibles on some of the items from like pretty low deductibles of $250 to $500 to like $1,000 or $2,000 to bring premiums down. Does anyone recall when that meeting took place? Or was that with the old council? I'm just, that kind of died on the vine, so anyway, I just triggered my memory.
That was with this city council. This is Dave. So, not a lot of options on that. I think it was about the second or third one I was involved in.
Well, and I feel like, now that I'm orating this, I feel like the thought process behind doing that was to not increase our insurance premiums and increase our liability coverage. So it wasn't, maybe that's not really a cost savings mechanism, but reallocation of insurance premiums.
Hmm. Yeah, I honestly don't recall.
I think it's good where it's at.
Okay.
Any thoughts on what I had suggested, maybe cutting planning down and reallocating that number towards mayor for the party?
Which section again? I'm sorry, you broke up.
50344. We have $10,000 in that, and we're not planning on doing like what we had talked about, like a compensation study, any kind of land survey, things like that is normally what's called in planning. That would be something that would be an easy place to pull out of.
Go ahead, John.
I was just gonna say less planning, more party, and that seems to make perfect sense.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Well, maybe start with a couple thousand, move a couple thousand.
5,000?
Yeah, 5,000.
For planning.
So what we've done this year for planning is the engineering studies related to the Opti project. Some of those have fallen out of there. Some of the Olson work, when we do engineering studies, we'll put under planning commission.
I mean, it sounds like we use.
Yeah, so let's move 50344 to $5,000, and then that will do 50340 to 8,000. Did everyone get that? And is everyone good with that?
Yeah. What was the second number again, or the second line item?
We are changing 50344 planning commission from 10,000 to 5,000.
Right.
And we are putting that 5,000 we took out into mayor 50340.
Gotcha.
Changing it from 3,000 to 8,000.
Yes.
For at least a little bit of a start.
Okay. Yes.
And totally, and that is up to the discretion of the mayor, right? I mean, the mayor, so basically, saying the mayor have 8,000
$1,000 at his discretion, not necessarily, could be for the party, it could be for maybe a little study, or about what flexibility do you have in that? Because an engineering service, taking money away from an engineering type of the service, which is what I guess that planning is kind of quite different than, having a party and doing other things. So does that, but does the mayor have to spend what money is in his fund?
I don't know the answer to that. I think what you're asking, if I've got.
I mean, I'm just thinking of the president has discretion and has an amount that it's up to that. They can just, whatever, here's the amount, you can spend it on whatever thing is right. And so, for your fund, the mayor fund, what are your guidelines?
That's a good question. I should know that. Michelle, what are my guidelines?
Aaron, do you have anything in writing on that? Is there any kind of discretion? My guess is it's discretionary, but I don't know. Do you have anything in writing?
I don't think we do, because I feel like we have always been the type of city that before anyone spends anything significant that they're going to take that to the council.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot of talk lately about cities doing spending discretions for things like that. But we do not have something specifically in writing, but that is something that I can look into if we are interested.
Well, yeah, I probably should then.
The council can kind of decide what limits we want on that or what types of things would not need to necessarily come to the council. It truly would be a decision of the mayor because he's already got the direction of the council, I guess. I don't know that I would tighten it down super tight. Again, as long as, I think this council does communicate
well, so I think it's going to be a
little cautious. I think guidelines, plans are good. You
don't want to throw every single thing. Yes.
Agree.
Okay.
Okay. Everyone ready to move on?
Oh, yeah. I am.
Okay. Trash collection, I did it based off of our contract, which says they are allowed to raise us up to 3%, is where that number came from. Street lights, I did a slight gain because we've had the same amount for a while and it just seems to be going up by a little bit. Building inspections kept the same based off of numbers we've gotten from Tony. Animal control, same. Dam maintenance, unless bills have definitely kept it the same. And then service station, unless we figure out a lot of changes before then, kept it at that same $10,000 that we've had of that. Any comments or questions in that section?
Yeah, I do want to talk to Bill, just kind of Kristen, I do want to talk to Bill Kolick site solutions to confirm that 10,000 will be enough to do the riprap repair on the negative rate. I have no feel for what that will or won't cost.
Awesome.
Okay.
Made a note of that one. Any others?
Yeah, this is Dave McCullough. On the service station, the change for the shift reader has been pushed back yet again, so that won't happen in. It's been pushed back to other accounts to read the shift readers. That's been pushed back.
Oh, what the heck? Freaking outlet not work? That's why I don't like using other people's stuff.
power or what?
Yeah, the battery's going dead, so she gave me her cord. And so I plugged it in, it was working, and then it just went dead again. Yeah.
Hey, Aaron.
I can hear. So.
Aaron. Let's pause for just a second. Hold on. Can we pause for just a second? Brady's having computer issues.
Now it's working.
He's here. He's trying to get his laptop to get a little power. And as you can see, at least if your screen's the same as mine, he's frozen on mine. So maybe take a 5 or 10 minute intermission.
Maybe not even that.
And give people a break. They've been behind the screen for a few minutes, and then they can reconvene here as soon as Brady's back up. You said we're going 10? I think they all failed. Who was that? All in favor? Oh, unanimous. Oh, wait, those opposed? I hear none.
Still going, and then it just shut off. So I don't know if that outlet's done that power, or if it's a half hot, or
you know, I've got no. If you're disconnected, or is it coming back up? Because I don't see you.
It's kind of it shut off, and then it powered back up.
It's trying to. It says convert meeting recording. I don't know what that is. I don't even think we have that. I don't necessarily. Well, it's got.
You just want to use my phone.
The control. You're a.
I mean, I can use my phone.
Your iPad is up, but I don't know that you have the controls to mute and unmute people.
I haven't been muting. I was admitting people. So I could just do that.
And it appears we have an audience of just council members and staff.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. Everybody dropped off. So.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're not using this, then yeah. I'll just...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Because I've been able to do everything.
Okay. Cool.
9:21 is when we're reconvening.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Of the motions and seconds and vote took place.
Probably my recording thing didn't shut off, but
okay. Did Michelle say we had to?
Yeah.
Did you get the motion and the second? Did we really have to officially do it?
Yeah, as long as that was Greg made the motion, John Christie made the second, and there was no objection.
For 10 minutes.
Yep, you can do it. Now, whatever you want.
There we go. It is back up.
On your computer?
Mm-hmm. You can continue to use yours.
Or maybe it was just so far dead.
Is it like the iPad, once it's so dead, you got to let it sit there for a second?
I'm guessing. Even if you plug it in, I guess. Because that's what happened to Greg tonight. He was on his phone or iPad, and the battery's going dead.
I have to plug mine in.
Yeah. Okay. Fred, who was it? Pre
that inspection.
Thanks for reminding me.
Who is Christy?
Greg made the motion. John Christy made the second.
Thank you.
9:12 to 9:21.
Do you mind if I use this iPad?
No, not at all. That's totally fine.
What was I going to say? Shoot, we're talking about something. Oh, that's what it was, Brett.
One of the visitors at the beginning of the meeting I didn't recognize her. She recognized the name, and she said, "Oh, that's that guy." She said that. I'm sure he tried to get on, didn't realize that we weren't taking comments. Bailed them.
It's 9:20, but I do.
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
You're not on.
Do you know how to turn the volume down?
I think it's one way over.
Function.
Thank you.
F1 will mute
you. Okay, looks like. Yep, 9:21.
This is Dave. Greg, before you make a motion, first start back up again to resume the city council meeting.
Okay, I'm going to go Dave McCullough for the motion to resume city council meeting.
And Gail second.
Okay. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Those in favor or those opposed? Motion carries. Resume meeting. Thank you.
Bertie, can you hear me?
Yep. All right, Aaron.
Okay. I believe that we finished all of the general city 5-0 categories.
I had a quick question, Greg, for you here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Greg.
So for, like, the holiday drive drainage, engineering would be $65,000. Where would be a spot to have a discussion on that?
So once again, most of our bigger projects would be out of reserves, or that would be under roads fund coming up by force.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And we'll get to that amount that we have in the reserve fund at the end, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Right before we left, when you were having some issues and some other people were, Dave had asked, had listed off a couple of things related to the gas station that we knew were coming up. And had mentioned that not sure how this all fits together. So what we're doing right now, we're going through all of the items that we know for sure coming up in 2021.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I'll go into a little discussion about kind of where we go from here, just as a little FYI for what we're doing here. So moving on to police department, all of the numbers that you saw in your documents were from Fred. I had given him a little bit of assistance between the full-time wages, the part-time wages, and the things related to payroll. And then other than that, those are the ones that he came up with. He had also, if you saw, there was an additional column this time that were listed. It might not have printed off if you printed it. But if you look at the actual Excel document, the additional column that I added over to the side shows what those numbers would change to if we did switch to adding two more officers. Did everyone happen to see those when you looked at the document? Or can you see them now?
Which line is that?
These are all of the police categories, which start with 5-1.
But where you said the look at the two officers.
Actual document. Oh, yeah, if you look at the actual document, there is the draft 2021 totals, which at the bottom total 353,000. And then it has the ones that if we were to add two additional full-time officers, as was once discussed, which would take it to almost 525,000.
So is part of that, Aaron, related to the potential for the two officers? Is part of that related to the fact that there's no security within the gates of Lake Quivira? You know, because we're taking over that, is that why that's two officers, or is it something else?
Yes, that is what we talked about. There was a discussion about how much it would be if we switched to 24/7 coverage year-round, and that was the way that Fred said would be to hire two extra full-time officers so that we weren't just relying on all of the part-time staff. So that was just doing the due diligence to know the extra, what that would actually cost.
And are we all in agreement with that?
To go ahead and do that now.
Okay, that's what I didn't know.
Yeah, that is why I did not put those in the main line. But I did want to show what the cost would be if we did switch or do something like that. Are there any other questions or anything you wanted to ask Fred about in that section?
This is Dave McCullough. The fuel line item, it seems like that's been quite a bit under budget. Is that, I know we're having two vehicles now, but one of them is a hybrid. Is that number... why is it so high? It's 51021. I'm sorry, 51020.
Fred, if you want to take that one.
Yeah.
This is Fred Grenier. The fuel line item has been kept at that level when we experience basically fuel shortages. Do you remember in years past? When fuel skyrocket, we don't have the budget to fund our police cars, we're basically parked.
Jurisdictions all over when
it gets into the crisis at times. Obviously, we're not in that type of crisis, and we will be considerably under budgeted, but
that's fortunate.
We're over budget in other areas. Like Aaron has explained, we're able to move that from one line item to another. So that has been, I believe, used in the past. Basically, if you have the budget high, make sure you come in at or under budget in that type of circumstance.
Okay. Makes sense. And then the maintenance, I saw that was...
Something that he asked us to keep on there. That's something within the counties, apparently, that if Shawnee ever asked us to help with, he thought they would. They have not to date, but he wanted that to stay in there. They cut out equipment that was part of the cost of maintenance for the ones we have, and since we don't have any more, that went down. And then the Shawnee, similar to the depth and ball contract, could go up to 3%, or depending on any mill levy changes that they're experiencing. When I have talked to their finance department, it sounded like they were trying to keep their mill the same or even lower it. So I don't think that should go up any higher than that. A little background into those. Sewer is a number that we received from Johnson County Wastewater, so that's an actual. Road repair. So, Greg, this goes back to more of where you were talking about. This is one possible place where we could put that money. If we put it into this category, we would be, once again, in the use it or lose it. A better place that I would suggest putting the money or taking the money out that we would do for the study that Olson was referring to would be, once again, in the reserve funds. The 20 normally covers the yearly maintenance or small projects that we do for the road, whereas the reserve is more of when we do a larger project, it usually comes out of there. That gives us the flexibility to be able to pull it out over a couple years. For example, if we did the engineering study in 1 year and we did the actual construction in the next year, that gives us the flexibility to be able to do that.
But would you still keep money in the road repair fund?
So normally the money in the road repair fund is the money that we use to, I don't think I've ever worked here where we haven't done at least one or two repaving projects per year.
Yeah.
That's usually where I pull from for that first.
Yeah.
And then if we did a bigger project, then I would pull from that category first, since that's the use it or lose it money, and then pull from the reserves.
Gotcha. And is it your opinion that we should stick with 20,000?
It's usually good base number
yeah.
to be able to cover part of a project or just smaller yearly repairs. But we could easily change.
So if we were looking at, I think it's, I'm not saying it's embarrassing, but it's getting to be embarrassing. Quivira Lane, once you enter our property, I know it's bad beyond our property, but with all the cool, how the range looks and all of that, it just makes wonder, at what point are we actually going to spend some money on Quivira Lane, which is very highly traveled to and from our property, and get, not just filled potholes and have all kinds of different tar and all kinds of stuff all over the road. At what point are we actually going to do something?
So you're talking about curb and gutter and grass on each side?
That'd be nice too. But, I know there's questions about whether there's going to be a second lane, turn-in lane and all that. But as far as just just resurfacing the whole thing, which is more of a temporary solution, than putting all the curbs and all that. But it's really, am I the only one that thinks is in really bad shape?
No.
It's not an attractive entrance.
Right.
And so where does that, so that would come out of the report, right?
If that's something we wanted to look into doing this year, for example, we've spent about $8,700 so far. So we would have $13,000 left that we would start whatever the project cost. The first $13,000 to pay for it would come out of there, and then the rest would come out of the reserves. That would be like an example if we did it this year.
Does it almost seem like we need to have some sort of a long-term plan in place where we spec out, the stuff for the away, whatever, that whole project, and then talked about the electrical poles. We've talked about the, Gail, the front entrance piece. There's four
at least four, if not five, of these bigger ones that we probably need to have some time where we put together, you know, where we then prioritize and say, okay, this for the 2021 budget is going to be this. But at least we have a plan. And I think that would be helpful instead of like Gail's point. Well, you know, when are we going to do this? Well,
I agree. We don't want to just keep kind of pulling in. We don't want to keep renewing. Well, at some point, finally, to like say, okay, I really got to fix this.
And I guess
what are those aims and what are those priorities?
What are these the reserves? What is our reserve balances overall? These are additions. This 683,000 that you've got on here, those are new additions to the reserve, right?
No, that would be our total reserves.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Where does it show that, like, the carried balance over?
Yeah, they stay the same a lot of time.
Yes. What we've been able to do is either put the, for example, like in, I'm trying to find a good one. When we spend the money, then I try to bump those numbers back up again. For example, this year we spent money out of spillway due to the Opti project. But you notice I've kept that number at 400,000, still putting money in it to be able to fix the spillway. It shows the carry forward, but then it does show a little bit of the addition to it as well. And then there's still the unallocated that could go to a different project. And any of those could be moved around at any time. Annie, I think you brought up a great point in the fact that if we had some type of a plan or a priority level, then between those accounts, just because those numbers are in there, you could say, oh, we want to do all of the spillway next year. Well, then if 400,000 covers it, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. If it doesn't, then you could move the 98,400, the 60, and the 125 up to it. If you didn't end up spending 400 and ended up costing you 200, then you would know that the next year you could move 200 out of spillway and you move it into roads, and then 2022 roads would be the focus. Those accounts just kind of give the flexibility, and that's where we put money if we have anything left over. And if those numbers don't look right and we have a different discussion and we want to put it towards something else, then that's fine too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really does. I mean, these numbers have kind of stayed the same. It does feel like we got, you know, let's just say we have a half a dozen projects that we're throwing out here. And, you know, we really do need to priority these, just like Annie's saying, and really have a feel for where we're really going, instead of like every time I drive down Quivira Lane thinking, oh my God, when are we ever going to do something with this road? Well, if we can say, oh, in 2022, we're going to totally redo Quivira Lane, then we know all we have to do is we're just going to fill potholes, you know, until that time. But, you know, the Holiday Drive, the road at the streetscape, okay, you know, are we ever going to replace, even thinking about electrical poles? Maybe that's 7 years out. But that would be a nice little, I don't know if we can have subcommittees or anything. I guess we can't because we have to only talk to two of each other. Three.
Right.
I mean, do we need? I mean, how do we map out, other than at 10:30 at night, you know, once a year? How do we map out? How do we have time to have a working session as a group to actually talk about these things?
I think I met Michelle Days. You absolutely, that's what you would need to do, is you would need to do it as a work session. I think that's completely appropriate. Those are public comes sometimes, public doesn't, but it does give you guys time to actually hash things out and kind of just get down into the details of what is the most important to you. It's not uncommon for cities to have a 5-year capital improvement plan. Again, it can change, and if all of a sudden some crisis situation comes up that you really need to address other than what you had in that plan, it can be changed, but it does give you direction that it helps Erin as she's working on the budget from year to year, and also it helps the council. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, as long as those are advertised as open meetings, you can certainly have those conversations.
Well, two quick comments. This is John Christie. I guess the first comment is, I feel like in my time on the council, there hasn't been that much focus on long-term planning because it was all hands on deck for the spillway.
Yeah.
Let's get that and then start thinking about other things. But two, I feel like, and Erin, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like the purpose of you getting these numbers out in front of us tonight is to get the wheels turning. It's not really to solve these problems, but maybe to just kind of get those conversations started so that we're better prepared when it, when, you know, here and we go to approve the final budget. So, anyway, my two cents.
Yeah, I agree.
Greg Prue here. I do like.
Go ahead, Greg.
I like what where Gail was going with kind of a work session, 5-year plan. I like that idea of kind of just kind of throwing a handful of things up there and say, okay, let's kind of see if we can figure out what some of the stuff going to cost and come up with some budgets, a little bit of research. That way, we kind of have a long-term outlook on a few projects.
Okay. So what are the items we're talking about? Obviously, Quivira Lane. What does Quivira Lane include in your opinion, Gail? The little triangle area,
it would be from, starting at that little triangle all the way up to where our property starts. But, you know, there's two parts of that. There's just the actual fixing the road we have and really making it nice with the stripe in the middle and all that. Then there's the next phase, which could be, you know, now we're really going to have curbs. And then also knowing, is our long-term, does Q Inc., with all the people that are going to be using the golf range, is there a feeling that we need to have a turn in lane? Because there certainly was when the golf range was started, okay? And so it's like we need to take each one of those and break them into, you know, bare minimum to what's our ultimate, what do we want it to be like. But there's the Holiday Drive. Do we want any better lighting? Do we want to replace a few of the electrical poles closest to our entry that might cost $300,000 to do? I mean, what are these things that people constantly talk about? I mean, not constantly, but they're always brought up. And it just feels like, in the spillway, are we going to have the beautiful spillway project? Is that what we want? With all kinds of cool stuff, or are we going to do the bare minimum spillway project? Like, what are our options?
I think you just kind of laid out our options. So, we have a work session. We have two people who might want to work on Quivira Lane, road repair, curbs. A traffic study should have been done before that driveway was poured, and it wasn't. I do think it can be dangerous right there. So there's three areas on Quivira Lane right there that two of you could tackle together. Holiday Drive, you know, John, at one point you had kind of talked about a 10-year power pole initiative plan, you know, of maybe doing one or two at a time. You know, if we're going to fix the drainage issue on from coming down from Q Inc., maybe you and Greg want to tackle that area, and then, you know, we can cut some of the whatever those tall weeds are. that type of deal. You know, so we're on the right track. Spillway, I guess that John, that'd be you too. But so I think we have a work session with those three items, and I'm open to some more examples. Does that make sense?
Okay. Right. And trying to just end deciding because the long term plan on that front entry, and Olson drew it up, it was because there was a buyer to get rid of that one stone column that's next to City Hall and make their drive in lane. You know, there's so, yeah, if we just are working to even put on a board, you know, a chalkboard, or if you build a chalkboard, you know, all these options, and then attack them. I mean, that's how you do a strategic plan. I mean, you know, you have to start that way, but
my take away
that way, we would feel good about what we're, I mean, it feels like we could be in a situation where whoever yells the loudest or you know, we're reacting, not necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. So, John, you're going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like I think that's a great idea, and I think Gail brought up some really salient points, and I don't think that, I mean, that Aaron, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the general fund provides the latitude to take these initiatives as they come up in time, where, you know, we don't necessarily have to put that puzzle piece together tonight. Is that?
Yes, exactly. What I was going to say is the reason we set up the reserve funds in the first place is because the treasurer before me had budgeted for a year for the dam. We ended up not doing it in the year that it was budgeted for. We did not have reserve funds. We spent more than was budgeted and ended up having to do an amended budget with everyone having to go through this process again twice during the year as opposed to just once. Something that I wanted to avoid from that point forward. So we set up the reserve funds. The point of them, and I think that it was a great thing to be bringing it up during road funds.
Yeah, you are.
That one, and I think that it came up in the first place with Yale's discussion about Quivira Lane. The problem with a lot of these projects is that even if we start talking about them like that, Quivira Lane, perfect example. In my mind, Quivira Lane, I totally agree with Gail, needs to be redone. The problem with it, we put aside money and we put it in road funds to do it in 2021. And then we find out that Q Inc. is planning on adding the turn lane or doing something like that, but that they don't have a budget in until 2022. Well, we will have spent the money to redo a road that they will turn around and add a lane to that we will have to turn around and redo again in a future budget. So the point of doing all of this, love the idea of a five-year CIP. Love the idea of a work session to put that together. But yeah, exactly like John said, not problems that we can solve this evening. And also a lot of them have to do with working together nicely with Q Inc.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, even the Holiday Drive project, Brady and I have had some discussions, including Fred Cathy on them. And while I agree that it's something that we need to do, whoever had brought up the point that Greg's analogy of the poured milk, I think we've experienced in the past some situations where we might have done our part and then not had a third party do theirs. Which is another reason why we have the reserve funds as well.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers a little bit more.
Yes. It does.
So the only other fund that we have not talked about that's not a reserve fund, fireworks. John, you're so good with the $20,000 in it.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that the money for the 4th of July and the Mayor's Christmas tree come from a different fund. I'm pretty sure they do, but.
No, that is the fund that they do come from for the most part.
Well, didn't we spend 20 on fireworks?
We did not. They've always been at 17.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Never mind. They give us $20,000 worth of products for 17.
Exactly. As long as we pay by the end of January 30th. Yep. January. Yes.
All right. Never mind. Scratch that. I'm good.
Okay.
So,
all right. So then, moving on to reserve funds, unless there's something else that someone wanted to talk about.
So John is okay with the $20,000 for next year. Do you see a price increase coming next year? Or?
No, they've been pretty steady the last handful of years, so I don't think there'll be much of a price increase. So that gives us about, you know, $1,500 for July and the mayor's Christmas tree budget.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Aaron.
Aren't those the three items that come out of that? Those three?
Yep. Great.
All right, go ahead, Aaron. Char.
Okay, so now what we do with this. Now I need some direction. I take the numbers that we've already talked about because those are our definite numbers. You guys give me some direction as to what direction you wanted to go with the mill levy. I know at one point we had talked about raising it, pandemic happened. I am not allowed to sway you in any direction whatsoever. I just take the direction you give me and show you what those numbers mean. Based off of that, if we wanted to keep our mill levy the same, this would be kind of where we were. They have, if we wanted to raise our mill levy, we would only be allowed to raise it with our CPI unless we put it to a vote. If we wanted to raise higher than that, then we would have to put it to a vote. So we would essentially be making two budgets, one for if it would pass and one for if it would fail. Normally, with the tax lid, there have been a handful, if not more, cities in Kansas each year who have put theirs to a vote. The rumblings that I have heard across the state, given the current situation with the pandemic, job losses, things like that, most cities are leaning towards steady mill levies. Not to say that's what we have to do, but wanted to make sure that all of that information was out there.
I'd like to mention that there seems to be a little undercurrent of people questioning their appraised values. I don't know, I can't speak to the Wyandotte County side, but I'm on Johnson County side. So I am not in favor of raising the mill levy if at all possible, because I think that would go over extremely unfavorably in light of an increased tax rate on top of.
Well, and especially now.
Yeah. So I would not be for that in any, you know, and we have ample reserves, so I don't see any reason to go down that path.
This is Dave McCullough. I have a question regarding mill levy versus raising money via bond for a one-time expense. As far as the spillway goes, if we do leave money or a project like that, what's our latitude as far as issuing bonds?
So we've looked into it a little bit in the past when there was a brief discussion. This is Aaron Lucky again. We've looked into it a little in the past when there was a brief discussion about the city opening up the community center. But besides that, we have never really approached them anymore. That is always something that would be an option, for sure. Something that I'd be happy to do more research on, or if anyone else. John, I don't know if you've worked with bond issuances in the past or anything like that, but
Dave, if you want to call me tomorrow, I can kind of walk you through what I know on that topic.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Yeah, I just... looking over this, and as we're talking about five-year plans and stuff like that, I just on the record, I don't want to raise our mill levy. I think, you know, during a pandemic and during 20% unemployment or whatever else we've got going on, it doesn't make sense. But I also want to be fiscally responsible as a city and not overextend. So we certainly, you know, are a sound city, and if we have enough possibility to issue debt to pay for one-time expenses. I don't like the idea of raising a mill levy to pay for a one-time expense, like a spillway, which
Is that how we paid for the sewer project?
I believe
correct.
So.
Okay.
Yes, and that was something that, and we actually did not have to go out for a bond issuance. Jones County Wastewater did that for us.
Okay.
So we as a city that I know of, I don't think we have ever issued bonds, which is probably unheard of, and probably every other city thinks we're crazy. So always something that we do for.
Yeah.
So back to 1971, we've never issued a bond?
None that I know of. I don't think we have any paperwork. We have the super bonds that goes until 2021, but like I said, we actually aren't the issuers of it. Johnson County Wastewater is. So we're listed as like a fifth party on that one.
To issue a 50-year bond on a 50th anniversary.
Love it.
I am totally on board with that. As long as it is not a 50-year bond, pay for a 50-year anniversary party. That is not awfully so.
What? Come on. Yeah, when I was campaigning, I was, you know, proud about the fact that we hadn't raised mill levy in 7 years, but I also wasn't completely opposed to it. Not a big increase, depending on certain projects and stuff like that. Obviously, like many of you have said, this was before the pandemic and, you know, uncertainty and stuff. And to me, it seems like the right year to keep it the same. Just my opinion.
I agree too. And I guess my point is, if we do good plan, if we have a plan, then you have to have that before you can go to your audience and go, would you consider this is what we think it'd be best to fund it? So I think we need to do some legwork first.
Hey guys.
Well, and when you think of this spillway project, like what's being presented as, this is our opportunity to enhance the beauty and all of that of Lake Quivira, and we may have to, I mean, which could make it maybe a lot more expensive. I don't even know if it could or not, but we may have to reach out to our constituents and really understand, do they want a beautiful recreational area that, you know, a bridge or whatever it is like we've talked about, that would be yet another wonderful, you know, thing that Lake Quivira could add to our wonderfulness here. But you just sort of have to know what are those options, and we're never going to know if we don't talk about it.
Yeah, I think Greg fell off.
Some of those could get quite expensive.
Greg fell off during that conversation.
Well,
I'm not sure at what point, but we talked about our opinions on raising.
About that.
Okay. Greg fell off during that conversation.
Hey, Aaron, is it hard to do a projection? By the way, I'm back on video.
Oh, nice.
Do a little projection to see, like, to rate. I guess we'd have to have one of our, a little work session, to come up with dollar amounts, but, like, if we just do a little bump in a mill levy, what income would that generate?
That is totally, when I input these numbers, I can do a little bump in the levy. So what I'll do now, I take the numbers that we talked about tonight. I'll plug those into the system that we, the program that we get from the state of Kansas for cities our size. I will type in what, if we keep the mill levy exactly the same with the addition of the consumer price index, which is 1.8% this year. I will give you what the total number there is and how much that would, any extra money outside of the numbers we discussed tonight, I will put towards the reserve funds. Then I'll do a slight bump and also have that so that you can see kind of what that would do.
Yeah, and Greg kind of fell off there at some point when we were giving our opinions of whether or not we wanted to raise the mill levy. I think everybody, you know, kind of agreed or had the same opinion that, you know, with the pandemic and all that, maybe this wasn't the right time. We've never issued a bond as a city. So John and Dave have talked about doing that. So Greg, since you kind of fell off here, you're welcome to have an opinion, but I think your question kind of makes sense, and Aaron will do that and kind of give you, like you said, you'll be able to see what it would look like then. So.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not raising it, but it would be interesting to see if you wanted to generate $1 million and throw it at Holiday Drive.
Yeah.
How would that roll on effect be?
Yeah.
Cool. I will do that. Okay, so going forward, what happens, like I said, is it goes into that program. It will spit out what are numbers that we could put towards the reserves without raising, and then I will also do it so that we can see with, like Greg said, I'll probably try to get $1 million or in a reserve and see what happens to our mill if we wanted to do that. Those budgets I will bring to our meeting next time. We will finalize our discussion and finalize our numbers. Those will then be submitted to the Quiberon, distributed to all of the black boxes at least 14 business days before our August meeting, as long as we don't have any, we'll open our meeting in August to a public session, and as long as there are no public comments, we'll close our public session, and then our budget will be approved. That makes sense to everyone?
Yes.
Right, but where does our planning session fall in place? Is that just sort of a standalone over here off to the side?
So your planning session could happen at any time. If we're not raising the mill and we're fairly certain about that, then I don't think your planning session has to occur in the next 30 to 60 days. It could occur at any time. You will just have the amount of money that would be in the reserves available. And then you could use that as your starting point. Or if you did have your planning session before then, all that would do is just firm up a little bit more which category would include how much in the reserves. But like I said, that those money can be moved around at any time between those categories. So kind of a vague answer, but I hope that helped. Yes, I fully agree that I think a five-year CIP type plan, a work session to be able to do that, all of those I think are fantastic ideas.
Yeah, I'm on board with the work session. So, Michelle, how do we announce that? Is it public? Is it
public? We would need to pick a date. We would just need to do our normal publication like we were announcing, I guess, like we would do for any other kind of a city council meeting.
Yeah.
Give the public an opportunity to attend if they want to, but we don't even take minutes during things like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, Kathy could be there, but doesn't have to be there in terms of keeping minutes because there's no official action that can be taken that night.
Okay.
So, and anytime you want to have it, any place you want to have it, just has to make sure that the public's made aware of it.
Okay. Does everybody feel comfortable maybe deciding on a date right now?
Sure.
Yeah.
What are That's fine with me.
What are we thinking? A couple weeks out or sooner than that?
Well, it would depend on if you wanted to put something in the Quiberon, your letter, June 25th, say that we've gathered and we've done this. Or we're scheduling it. I mean, that's the deadline for your letter to the editor, or not the editor, your letter.
The work session?
Communicate.
No, she's just saying as an example, we could say we had a work session and talked about it.
Yeah, legally you wouldn't be required to do it that way, but certainly if you wanted to just get information out, then you can.
Yeah, just to say, hey, we had, so I don't know how, you know, if we're trying to fit this in up in June or if we can wait until July, but
you know, whatever we do, it's just like doing for it. I mean, they let the people know when they have strategic planning meetings and, you know, keep the best of what the plan. I don't know how formal we want it, but I mean, Brady, what are you thinking? How far, I mean, like, is have too much to do June and we need to, like, you know, put this down, you know, middle of the summer or something? Or is this something we would feel good to do in the next weeks?
I don't know. My attitude is always kind of sooner the better, but also give us enough time to, you know, get everything answered, and then meet. So, you know, I'm open to suggestions.
Does it need to be an evening? I'd rather do like a Thursday morning at 7:30 and just say 7:30 to 9, you know, or something like that. With some
oh, around that'd be nice. A little breakfast meeting.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Morning's fine with me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, that works.
A break room breakfast meeting.
What?
It just depends on the day. I mean, I just have to make arrangements.
Is it in the mayor's budget for donuts?
Well, I think something to keep in mind, too. I mean, this can certainly be used for this budget period, but it also could be something that's more of an ongoing, you know, get a great start on this, but it may be difficult to get it completely implemented before Aaron needs to get everything done for this budget period. Oftentimes these can be multiple conversations before you really kind of get it hammered out, because not only are all of you talking, you have a tendency to kind of go out and hear from your constituents as you're getting input on things. So it can go either way. It can be kind of a bare bones CIP plan kind of for this stage of the game, but then if you want to expand on it moving forward, I mean, it's just the options are out there, but I don't think you necessarily feel like you have to get it finalized unless you really want to for this budget process.
Aaron, what would you prefer?
I am totally with Michelle. That is exactly what I was attempting to say, but she said it much more eloquently and to the point than I did.
Okay.
So I think that if we are for sure or at least 95% sure on the not wanting to raise the mill, then I would say focus on this year's budget first. Once you have the numbers finalized, then have the meeting so that you at least have a jumping off point of what your number is.
Okay. So after the July meeting or August meeting?
If we are almost sure about not raising them up, correct.
I mean, it sounded fairly unanimous to me that everybody wanted to keep the mill levy the same. So, okay. Well,
agreed. Just want to make sure that
I think I would have felt something before if we wouldn't have had the COVID thing, but because it feels like we've stayed where we are and there was money to be had, but I think the time's wrong, don't you?
Agreed.
Time's wrong to raise.
Yeah.
I think it'd also be nice if we had a plan, like a plan of action on why we're raising the mill, like a cost.
Yeah.
This one, the CIP putting that together would be a perfect thing to look at. And use as your backing for why you're raising it.
Okay.
And then you could also use it as your way to say, hey, look, we didn't last year because of extenuating circumstances, but we are this year because we've taken the time to think about it, and this is why.
Okay.
Can Kathy put that as old business on the July meeting agenda?
She sure can.
Awesome. Sounds perfect, and then we can set a time then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
I'll bring donuts for you having to sit in the mini collab on Earth.
Old business to my meeting to discuss a work
session. Yep. I need to keep that mute. Okay. So Aaron, what else do you need from us right now?
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
Done with you.
Done with you. All right. Sounds good.
Hopefully I'm paying full up until this point.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, motion carry. Mission is adjourned. Let's have a great 4th of July. Did I say mission? Meeting is adjourned.
All right.